Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Today, of course, is Juneteenth. It's a holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the U.S. African Americans have been celebrating it since the late 1800s, but this year, the holiday has become a focus of companies' response to the national reckoning of racial discrimination in our country. Yahoo Finance's Emily McCormick is here to break down what companies in particular are doing to honor Juneteenth. And Emily, I know that some big name companies like Nike and Target have actually made today a company holiday. What else can you tell us?
Well, that's right, Alexis. And today does mark the 155th anniversary of Juneteenth, or June 19th, 1865. That was the original date that represents the time that the final remaining slaves in the country were freed following the end of the Civil War. Now, this holiday is not a federal holiday, and prior to this year was generally not observed among many companies. But this year, of course, the decision to observe is coming, the nation and corporate America face a reckoning with racism, with protests over police brutality and systemic racism having continued for weeks now. So to give a few examples of the companies that are observing, we have Nike CEO John Donahoe saying in a memo earlier that Juneteenth would be a paid holiday this year and going forward for the company. It's also closing its retail stores, offices, and distribution facilities in the U.S. today, quote, for our employees and teammates to educate and connect on the significance of this moment in Black history. And that's according to a LinkedIn post from Nike. We also have other retailers, including Target, Best Buy, and JCPenney, observing the date. Target, for example, is keeping stores and distribution centers open today, but it did give workers the option to take the full day off with full pay or continue working and receive paid time and a half. So a number of companies that are observing Juneteenth. Alexis?
And I also know that Google is commemorating in its own way with its doodle today. What is that about?
Well, previously, we do have Google that didn't include Juneteenth on its Google Calendar feature and with its doodle. So we do have the Juneteenth being commemorated in the Google Doodle as well as on Google Calendar in the U.S. going forward. The company also asked that its employees cancel meetings today in observance of the holiday. And that's similar to the moves that we're seeing for other tech companies, including Amazon. We also have Twitter and Square, which, of course, are both led by CEO Jack Dorsey. Yeah. Those employees are receiving a paid holiday today. And if we look at another tech company, Spotify, that company is also featuring Black artists today on its New Music Friday playlist. So truly many different ways that companies are choosing to observe Juneteenth this year.
But if I was white, then I'd be better off. Isn't that true?
Nominations are required by law for students who want to study at military service academies. If they can get one and meet the academy's strict standards for admission, it means a free education in exchange for 5 years of service. The Connecticut Veterans Legal Center analyzed over two decades of congressional nominations. The center's director, Liam Brennan, says the results are stark.
Young Black Americans make up about 15% of the young adult population, but Black students only receive 6% of current members' nominations to the military service academies. That's a great big differential.
Brennan found similar disparities for Latinos. 8% get nominations, even though they make up about 22% of young adults.
We expected to see discrepancies. The extent of the discrepancies were surprising.
Brennan and others who've studied the issue say there are a lot of reasons for those discrepancies. Some are rooted in a lack of equity in public schools. Others involve how hard members of Congress work to find diverse nominees. Danielle Anderson is with the Black Veterans Project. She graduated from the Naval Academy, but says few minority teenagers are even aware that's an option. Her junior ROTC commander suggested she give it a shot.
We had some conversations about what a service academy even is. I really had no idea of the
Anderson says even minority students who do know about the academies might not feel like they'd be welcome there or successful due to racism.
Microaggressions, sometimes macroaggressions, and this continues throughout your tenure, throughout your career, and you're still expected to perform, you know, really the highest levels of anyone your age.
That could lead to fewer applicants of color. Democratic Congressman Anthony Brown of Maryland says there's a lack of qualified minority students who ask him for a nomination.
I have an underrepresented applicant pool. African-American and Latino students are not applying at the same levels that I want them to apply.
The report found just 38% of Brown's nominations went to applicants of color in his majority-minority district.
We're doing our hardest to squeeze the very best out of the small pool, and we actually overperform when it comes to appointments.
Some lawmakers say if you want to nominate more diverse applicants, go out and find them.
Students sometimes need to be told the pathway to college is open to you. And that's true for the service academies as well.
That's former Air Force Secretary and former Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson. She nominated hundreds of students to the academies, and she's an Air Force Academy alum herself. She says some lawmakers and their staffs need to put more effort into the nomination process.
For some people, it's just not a high enough priority to spend time training members of Congress on how to do this. If I were to do one thing, it would be to focus on outreach and training the local office of members of Congress.
But Wilson, now the president of the University of Texas at El Paso, defends the congressional nomination system. She says it's a good way to ensure the military's future leaders come from all over the country.
As the size of the military has gone down, there are communities and regions of the country that have very little connection to the military at all. And the nomination process helps fight against that by geographic dispersion of nominations.
A recently passed law aims to standardize the way congressional offices collect demographic data on their nominees and make it more transparent. But there are no plans to change the nomination system, which has been law since 1802, when Thomas Jefferson established the Military Academy at West Point. I'm Desiree DiOrio on Long Island.
The pandemic has taken a toll on people's mental health. A new CDC report says that toll has been much higher for unpaid caregivers, those taking care of loved ones. NPR's Ritu Chatterjee has the story.
Amy Adams lives in Seneca, Illinois. Last December, her mother, who lives nearby, suffered a heart attack and ended up in the hospital needing bypass surgery. But Adams wasn't allowed to see her.
She ended up in three hospitals before she ended up where she had her surgery, with no family support whatsoever. And she was too ill to even talk on the phone with me.
And not being able to visit made it hard for her to get medical information about her mother.
My mom, she had like multiple, you know, specialists, you know, seeing her. And so it's, you know, was really hard to try to touch base with them, you know, to get like a picture.
By the time Adams brought her home 2 months later, she felt out of the loop and unprepared as a caregiver. Her mother has been in and out of hospital since, and Adams herself has developed severe anxiety.
For a good month or so, I was just like not sleeping, terribly anxious, very irritable, overwhelmed.
Over 40% of people in the United States identified as unpaid caregivers in the new study. Author Mark Seisler says two-thirds of this group said they had struggled with mental health symptoms.
Symptoms of anxiety or depression, symptoms of COVID-19 trauma and stress-related disorders, and suicidal ideation, either wishing that they had gone to bed and didn't wake up, or having seriously considered trying to kill themselves.
In comparison, only a third of people without caregiving responsibilities had these symptoms in the month before. Seisler, a research trainee at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, says the caregivers who were affected the most is the sandwich generation, those taking care of children under 18 as well as older loved ones.
In that group, the prevalence of adverse mental health symptoms went up to 85%.
And they were five times more likely to have mental health symptoms than people without these roles. Co-author Shanta Rajaratnam is a psychologist at Monash University in Australia.
What is striking here is just how widespread unpaid caregiving responsibilities are in the population. and how much of a burden and a toll that these responsibilities can be having.
Psychologist Dolores Gallagher-Thompson at Stanford wasn't involved in the new study, but has worked with unpaid caregivers. She says caregiving has always been stressful, but the pandemic made it even harder, partly by taking away people's usual coping mechanisms.
Exercise, going to the gym, going to church, going to the movies, going out to dinner.
The usual in-person services and supports people relied on in pre-pandemic times disappeared as well.
You know, it was very hard to find home health care workers that were willing to come into the home, like to give physical therapy or occupational therapy or to give the caregiver a respite.
And as the new study confirms, support can make a big difference. People who had help with caregiving coped better and had lower risk of mental health problems. Ritu Chatterjee, NPR News.
If you're going back to work in person, after doing it from home during the pandemic, or if you are an employer calling others back to work, here are two news stories from the last day that probably caught your eye. One is from Goldman Sachs here in New York. Did you see this? The New York Times reported they had a noon deadline yesterday for all employees to disclose their vaccination status. The Wall Street giant wasn't requiring people to get vaccinated, but it was requiring them to disclose their status by noon yesterday. The other story is from Methodist Hospital in Houston, where they suspended 178 workers for not being vaccinated. The hospital is actually requiring vaccinations for its employees. They do have a religious and medical exemption policy, but these 178 suspended employees did not get those exemptions. They didn't qualify for whatever reasons. Basically, everybody at that hospital, and I read they have 25,000 employees, has to get a shot or get suspended and risk losing your job. You could see why all healthcare facilities might want to be the first to require COVID vaccines for the workers, but many do not. In fact, a shockingly large minority of frontline healthcare workers are declining vaccines. That's been another story. But this hospital in Houston, as a facility, is requiring them. So there are two stories, one workplace requiring vaccines, another requiring at least disclosure of vaccination status. The question we will ask now is, what should employers be doing about vaccine requirements or vaccine disclosures? And joining us to help talk through these workplace choices is Robert Iafola, labor and employment law reporter for the news and information site Bloomberg Industry Group. Robert, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Oh, and by the way, folks, I should say you can also tweet your quick story or comment or question, as always, at Brian Lehrer. Robert, let's start with Goldman Sachs. According to the BBC, Goldman Sachs U.S. bankers were ordered to disclose their COVID vaccine status ahead of a return to the office by noon yesterday. One, is that clearly legal? And two, is it now common or unusual among big corporations?
It's legal, although there are some strings attached for the employer. They do need to keep that information confidential. The Americans with Disabilities Act has some confidentiality requirements when it comes to medical information. So they can go ahead and ask and get that information, but then they got to keep it confidential. I'm not exactly certain how common this practice is at this point in the stage of the pandemic, but you could imagine how it might be in a lot of workplaces.
You said some of them feel they have to keep it confidential. So what will they do with the information? Like at the ballparks and sports arenas now, they have separate sections. Have you seen this? For vaxxed and unvaxxed fans. Can Goldman Sachs have unvaxxed sections for stockbrokers?
They have the legal authority to segregate workers by vaccination status. Legally, there might be some employee relations issues with that sort of policy. I've chatted with some employment lawyers who consult management, and some of them have said that would be a pretty terrible idea from a employee relations perspective, but
it depends which employees
do it.
Doesn't it depend which employees? If I'm a vaccinated employee, maybe I don't want my unvaccinated employees wandering around in my midst, not having to disclose their status to me, and being able to mingle.
Yeah. You could imagine an employee might have those feelings. I mean, ultimately, employees don't control the workplace.
Right. But that would be the majority of employees, I would imagine, at Goldman Sachs, those who have chosen vaccination.
Presumably, yeah.
So they have rights, too. And according to the memo that was leaked to the New York Times, the bank had said staff in the U.S. could work in the office without a mask if they had been vaccinated. And I'm curious if you have reporting yet, Robert, on how common that policy is becoming as far as you can tell. Vaxxed employees can go unmasked in the office. Unvaxxed employees have to wear masks.
I'm not exactly certain how common that policy is, but it does track with the CDC recommendations when they eased, you know, the guidance as far as the need for a mask you know, indoors and whatnot. So when the CDC eased their guidance, you saw a bunch of states go ahead and roll back their mask mandates. So the CDC's, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. If you're unvaccinated, you need a mask. That sort of seems to be the baseline that a lot of America is operating on right now.
Let's take a phone call. Michelle in Bridgeport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I work at a nonprofit, and one of the things that we do is run a culinary training program that's a 10-week program. And I have to say that listening to your guest is only increasing my anxiety about how little we know about what we're supposed to be doing. But one of our main concerns and why we're going to be requiring disclosure from the participants in our program is because of quarantine. We're trying to figure out what the requirements are in terms of who has to quarantine if somebody tests positive for COVID. And from what I read, and I would love your guest to weigh in on this, those who are vaccinated don't have to quarantine and those who are unvaccinated do. So to know who we have to send home and for how long is very confusing for us. So that's why we are looking to ask for disclosure. And I can certainly take the answer off the air.
Michelle, are you asking the employees who are disclosing to you to disclose to each other?
You know, that's the thing. We haven't even figured that piece out yet, where it's kind of the Wild West here. And my understanding was is that we weren't required in terms of HIPAA to keep it private, but maybe we're not doing things properly. I don't know. But certainly, you know, different staff members have to know, because we have to know who to, like I said, to send home.
Right.
And who to cover for if they're gone for a week or 10 days or whatever it might be.
Do you have any policy about whether employees can ask their colleagues?
No, we don't.
And anything like that Goldman Sachs masking and unmasking requirement, if you're unvaccinated, you have to mask?
We're actually asking everybody to mask if they're not in their offices. And then when they're in their offices or others are coming in, if they're unvaccinated or if they're vaccinated, they don't have to wear their mask. Mm-hmm.
Michelle, thank you so much. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wild West. We're all just trying to figure it out. I was just saying, like, throughout this pandemic, honestly, with everything, it just feels like there's no clear guidance on how to do anything that we're supposed to be doing. So,
yeah, it's so complicated. It's been all the way along. That's exactly right. So, Robert, can you do anything to reduce Michelle's anxiety?
Seems to be a hands-off approach as far as, you know, the government is not want to mandate a lot of rules around this. OSHA just released a temporary standard. I believe it applies to the healthcare setting just recently. But generally speaking, in an office like a nonprofit, the employer is going to have a lot of leeway as far as what policy they want to develop. In terms of quarantining, in terms of queries about vaccination, these sort of things. There are baselines, you know, there are floors, legal floors, things you can and can't do Again, I had mentioned earlier, the ADA is what creates that, you know, the privacy protections in the workplace. For an employer, it's not going to be HIPAA, it's going to be the ADA. And the employer has a lot of leeway to establish rules if they don't want coworkers to share their vaccination status. They can create rules around that. That's the bottom line, is right. That most private employers have a lot of leeway.
But clear one thing up for me about HIPAA, which you mentioned and which the caller mentioned. Isn't HIPAA only between doctors and their patients? That is, the HIPAA privacy requirements, that law known as HIPAA, requires doctors to keep patient information confidential. It has nothing to do with employers and employees.
That's generally correct. HIPAA extends a little more broadly when it comes to other, insurance entities, other entities in that healthcare relationship. But that's absolutely right, that HIPAA is not going to be the thing that creates any restrictions or creates any rights when it comes to the employer-employee relationship.
Laura in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I work in a healthcare facility in Queens. The requirement for wearing masks, of course, but in terms of vaccination, there is no requirement. There's an encouragement, but no requirement that the workers be vaccinated. And I just find that really worrisome. If I were a patient or a loved one of a patient, and I'm coming into a facility, and I don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. So I'm actually, unless, of course, someone is immunocompromised or there's a religious exemption, I'm kind of backing what that large healthcare facility did in Texas.
In Texas, requiring everybody to get vaccinated. What does your employer at your healthcare facility say for why they're not going that far, if they're saying anything?
Well, I suspect they're treading, cautiously, similar to what your speaker and everyone mm-hmm. have said. I can't speak for them. I'm just suspecting
yes.
that they don't want the kind of reaction. There's a lot of encouragement, of course, and the union is certainly encouraging their employees, their members. Everybody's working together to encourage people, but they're not going to take that next step. Which is interesting, because sometimes when someone comes in for a surgery, for example, certain patients are required to get at least a COVID test, not necessarily the vaccination, but a COVID test. So if you're going to require it of certain patients, why wouldn't you require it of the employees who are going to service those patients?
So what do you do under these circumstances as a healthcare worker in a facility? Do you just, and you're vaccinated, but you don't know what other people's status is, do you just treat everybody as potentially contagious?
Oh, yeah. I think in a lot of settings, we still wear, of course, we wear the mask. And if you're treating someone clinically, you're going to wear a mask as well as a shield. And I think the rules for healthcare facilities, thankfully, are a little bit stronger. When you come into a facility, you're going to see all the employees with masks, unless they're perhaps in a
right.
room by themselves, then the mask can come off, or they're in a non-clinical setting where there's no patient interaction. But even then, you have to wonder, well, who's vaccinated, who's not?
Laura, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Good luck out there and on the front lines in the healthcare world. If you're just joining us, listeners, we're talking about different companies like Goldman Sachs requiring disclosure of employees' vaccination status. Some, like Methodist Hospital in Houston, now requiring vaccinations, but many others not. And here's Lynn in Queens, who works at Goldman Sachs. Lynn, thanks so much for checking in with us. Hi there.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call.
So how'd this go down yesterday? Do you think pretty much everybody disclosed their vaccination status to the company by noon, as they were supposed to do?
You know, I do. They had requested it a little while ago now, so we've had quite a bit of time. This isn't news. It's not like they were, you know, they told us the morning of, hey, we need to know it right now. And everyone I've spoken to, all of my colleagues have gotten vaccinated and have had no problem disclosing that and think that it's best for the firm and the return to work policy.
So you're not hearing a lot of controversy around this. And then what does it seem to you like they're doing with the information? Are they already separating or planning to separate vaccinated from unvaccinated employees or any other response to this?
They are maintaining a mask policy for unvaccinated individuals. And I have heard that any town halls or forums or events that take place in person, they are separating, like setting aside a separate section for vaccinated individuals so that they can assure that those are the folks that should, that can be unmasked. So yes, they are doing some things to separate us.
And how's the vibe among employees in terms of being able to ask each other, or if you even want to ask each other individually, your vaccination status? It's one thing for the employer to know, maybe in the HR department. It's another thing for you to know about the people you're working side by side with.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a pretty tight community, I guess, if you can say that. So it's kind of come up naturally as far as my interactions have gone. You know, it's, oh my gosh, did you get vaccinated? Yes, I did. Oh, I had my second appointment. Oh, yay. So, and I mean that quite literally. Everyone mm-hmm. around me, that's come up naturally. Now, there have been some meetings with individuals who might be, you know, on a different floor or a different part of the office where I'm not at very frequently, and that kind of gets a little muckier. But it's usually just like as they're entering your area, if they come in close proximity to you, you know, are they wearing a mask or not? And you kind of gauge their reaction, and you don't outright ask, but you're kind of trying to read each other. So it gets a little fishy.
Lynn, thank you so much for checking in with us. We really, really appreciate it. So Robert Iafola from Bloomberg Industry News, it sounds, at least from that one caller, like Goldman Sachs is a pretty functional workplace right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be a combative situation. You know, for a lot of people, yeah, getting vaccinated is really good news. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a fight.
I wonder if you're getting any indication yet as a reporter of how much conflict the masking policy, like the one at Goldman Sachs, would be causing. Vaccinated employees don't have to wear masks, unvaccinated employees do, because I tend to think the same people who won't get vaxxed are often the same people who declare it's their right not to wear a mask.
Yeah, I suppose it matters the workplace. You know, if you have a collegial workplace, you know, there's things that we're asked to do at work that we wouldn't necessarily want to do in our private life, but we understand we need to wear the uniform. We need to, but we're at work. So you could imagine that somebody might not enjoy wearing a mask, but they also probably enjoy working and getting a paycheck, or at least getting the paycheck part.
Context of white supremacy. Getting a paycheck, that's what they say. That is the goal of all of this. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, June 18, 2021. So I have been told. The cows and all other platforms, programs, basically futile efforts up to now to counter the system of racism, white supremacy, and or compensate for its existence are all about to be worthless. We have just about got this problem licked. I just saw the photographs. President Joe Biden signed into law recognition. Juneteenth is an officially white recognized holiday, right up there with St. Patrick's Day, Guy Fawkes Day. Wow. All of our problems are about solved. I mean, this is right up there with when President Obama won back in 2008. I guess Joe Biden was at the center of that, too. How is that? Joe Biden is at the center of two of the most momentous moments in Negro history, U.S. Negro history. I'm not sure if we have folks in your workplace where you got Juneteenth. Now, I did hear one where they said you could work and get time and a half. Now, something like that came up, I might just work. I wouldn't do anything loony. I wouldn't have kente cloth or anything else like that. I would just work, get my time and a half, keep it pushing. I don't know if they did anything wacky in your workplace, if they had to have watermelon and grits today and, you know, purple Kool-Aid, purple drink, all the rest of it, had Lil Wayne music playing in the hallway. I don't know. I hope it was just another day on the plantation. If you did Zoom or something, maybe they had Rosa Parks in the background for, you know, all of the celebration and whatnot. But what same thing that I say for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, Valentine's Day, Halloween, any other of these holidays, what's coming up? Father's Day, July 4, Memorial Day. Same thing that I say any other time. No celebrating. And I would say the same thing in the workplace. Like, oh my goodness, I know, old Gus, I know you're an old curmudgeon. Any other time we can't get a stocking, can't get a jack-o'-lantern, Valentine, nothing. I know you are getting down for your black brothers and sisters for some Juneteenth. I do not celebrate anything. Moving ahead, I wouldn't even give them the polish. I don't celebrate anything. I'm even, what are you talking about? Anywho's, with all of the, if anybody did have Juneteenth jamborees in your workplace, I wouldn't answer any questions about Juneteenth either. That's another one. If it was a white person or a non-white person and they came up, say, Gussie Wussie, what's all this about Juneteenth? Can you explain it to me, black brother? White person or a non-white person, give them the same thing I just said. I love it when I can just give the same response. I do not celebrate any holidays, so I would not be the person to ask. And that's, I even feel like that's saying too much, but that would be in the ballpark of my response. No, even if it was another black person, there have got to be better resources for you to get an explanation of Juneteenth than Gus T. Anywho, if you had to deal with any of this in your workplace this week, please share. Let us know if you were able to deal with it successfully. I hope no one ended up, you know, chatting about this for 5 minutes at the water cooler or anything like that. Incidentally, we have for a long time, it's on my mind, I guess, more recently because Emmy, she just had the fortune of being able to successfully plan her exit from a workplace. And particularly, hey, I am stepping up. I am going med school. I have got big plans. You know, brilliant white, what we heard last week. I've got big plans on the horizon. I am out of here. But she still resigned in a correct manner, meaning she put in her 2 weeks' notice. She didn't come in late every day the last 2 weeks and curse everybody out and call them names and all that. She was professional, worked all of her assigned schedules and remained professional the whole way through to the end. We talked about that. I think that's constructive. I advocate behaving in that manner in a workplace. Even when you are leaving, leave, exit in a professional manner. Sometimes it's like reaching out from the grave. Race soldiers from that old job can reach out and get you. We talked about that vindictiveness. So a black female that I know, in fact, people that follow me on Facebook, I just use for broadcasting purposes, facebook.com/theproblemiswhitepeople. So my black female pal, I won't say friend, black female pal that I know, victim of racism, she, great fortune, says, hey, psh, I am out of here. I am resigning in a professional manner, putting in my 2 weeks and the black self-respect on top of this. I am going so I can spend more time with my grandbabies. I went and saw them, and they're so young and that formative age. And, you know, I can help out my child, help out my, or not help out, but be there to be a grandmother. Like, it's more important things in life. I said, black self-respect, black self-respect. The reason I said my Facebook page, I made her a plant-based blueberry cheesecake that was extraordinary. Like, I'm so, so, like, I can't even think of a good word. Crestfallen, that's in the ballpark. I'm crestfallen about not having that pie. I only got one small slice. Like, if I had known how good it was going to be, I would have tried to get, like, five slices of pie so that I could have snacked each day. But, wow, it was so good. Anyway, black self-respect for me for trying to be nice and encourage healthy eating and celebrating, you know, leaving a job in a constructive manner and to go be a grandmother. But anyway, she had on, I think she had like 2 days left. I brought her the cheesecake when she had like 1 or 2 days left to work. And she had on a shirt and it said, I wish a Karen would. Now, I think people, at least in the States, probably around the world, have heard the use of the name Karen to talk about a white woman who might be practicing racism, white supremacy. I am not an advocate of this. There's already enough historically and current day white people practicing white supremacy anonymously with impunity where they don't get named. And, you know, regardless of what they've done, they aren't identified, labeled as a racist. We don't even know who they are. This goes all the way up to white people who have killed black people. Current day, even, they do this a lot of times, even for enforcement officials. They won't name them sometimes at all, or they won't name them for a long period of time. Even Theodore Wafer, he killed Renisha McBride some years back. I believe that was like 2014, 2013. They didn't name him for a long time. He wasn't even an enforcement official. Anyway, so many reasons. I'm not about the Karen thing. Identify individuals by their correct name, not making up, you know, goofy names and all this. Seems not serious. Anyway, for a work context, VGQ, victims guaranteed qualified. We can all use our independent brain computers to come up with our own solutions and strategies for how we should function in a workplace, beyond the workplace, on the plantation in general. No problem there. My suggestion, I would not, even if it's my last few days, I would not wear a shirt like that in a work environment. This is not the environment, just in my opinion, this is not the environment for like political statements. I wouldn't wear any sort of shirts that had any sort of like political candidate. If you got somebody in the race that you want to win the New York mayor's race, or somebody you're looking at for 2024 or whatever it is, work is not the environment for those shirts. You do not want someone, people, white or non-white, coming up to you and asking you about your shirt. Same thing I said about Juneteenth. What's a Karen? Now you got to explain that shit. Now, you can't exactly say, I don't know what that is. You got the shirt on. See, I would not, even if it's my last few days, I would not want to have to talk about that, you know, at my last day or two, or have people whispering about that, like I said, reaching out the hand from the casket, trying to reach out and sabotage me once I move on. I would save that and wear that once you are with the grandbabies, no longer employed there. We've had this conversation come up before. Same type of thing where people said, hey, I got a Marcus Garvey University t-shirt. And they said, hey, I'm going to, you know, wear this in a work environment. And I said the same thing. Oh, absolutely not. I would not wear such a shirt in a workplace environment. I don't know what problem that's going to solve. I've never heard of anyone wearing a shirt like that in a work environment where they got a raise, they got a promotion. I've never heard of where anything constructive happened. Even working with other black people exclusively, I've not heard where wearing paraphernalia like that had a constructive result. In fact, I can give you another one. Beat Gus T. personally. I had a shirt and it had a picture of a black male, and he was being chased by enforcement officials, like three or four of them. One of the enforcement officers was black, by the way. And it was a black person. And a black person with two black parents, four black grandparents, black person, all born in the U.S. Black person saw this shirt and he said, oh, yeah, see, that. Look at that shirt. See, it's clearly racist. The black officer, because I think his name badge, it had something like U Tom was his name badge. No name calling. And I think one of the white officers, the name badge was like O'Reilly or something like that. Said, oh, yeah, see, it's clearly racist because they're trying to say that he's Irish and that they're Irish are racist. And this black guy's Uncle Tom and all of that. Yeah. See, clearly it's racist. Now, that could have, you know. Now you got two black males. It could have been an argument. And what are you talking about, Sambo? All that. Hindsight is 20/20. Do not wear that shirt in the workplace. Wear that on your free time. I've said for a long time, I would have a wardrobe, and it would be a very sterile, frumpy wardrobe. This is not the work environment. Is not the place to style and profile. I want to show off all the things. I was doing a whole lot of shopping while we were on the pandemic, and I am sharp. Like, do that on your free time. I said I would have the same thing, and it would be something that's not going to attract attention. I would never wear anything with any wording on it or anything like that. Nothing where people got to come and read what I have on. What is that thing? Well, let me read that. Nope. Plain clothing, nothing that's going to stick out and draw any attention. It's like you have, they talked about a uniform in the segment. It's like, this is my work uniform, my work wardrobe, and it is real, real down to earth. Deliberately does not call attention to itself. It's almost like I wear the same thing every day. Yep. Anywho, this broadcast is not for spectating. The number 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. The email address, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. If you do not want to dial in, are not able to dial in, concerned about your voice being recognized, feel free to drop an email. We can read your commentary anonymously on the air. If you have either suggestions, your own situation that worked out well, you have some tips that you think could benefit other victims, or if you have a situation that you'd like to share, untiljustice@gmail.com. Incidentally, I am thinking, I guess I'll ask too, if folks, you know, are to the contrary, you can share that also. I'm not aware of anybody who has said, I ended up having problems as a result. Like, when I say problems, like, because I called in and they, like, recognized my voice, like, hey, that's Mitch calling into the cows. Like, man, what are we doing employing him? Got cows listeners up in the workplace. Like, I have not heard that from anybody. We've been doing workplace racism on the cows for years at this point, like over 5 years at this point. I cannot think of one person. I can think of folks who said that they had suspicions that some of their coworkers, colleagues, may have been aware that they participated in the cows. I know Khalif Muhammad, Dr. Khalif Muhammad, I think he writes blogs, YouTubes on white supremacy racism under SYNQ. He's been a guest on the program repeatedly. I think he said that he's done work and white people who employed him to verbally told him to his face that they were aware of his YouTube channel, had seen him talking about counter racism and just verified that it was him. He acknowledged, yes, that is me. And the conversation moved on to the other things. You heard about that Juneteenth? Isn't that crazy? So I am not aware. I am aware of some folks who said that they did get the impression that maybe their coworkers had heard the program, maybe they were aware by some things that they had said that they had called in and participated, but I cannot think of one person who has said, man, I got in trouble, I got fired or lost a job, or now they don't invite me out to lunch anymore. Like, not one person. If there is, like I said, someone to the contrary, let me know. Make sure I got that on the record as well. Let's see quickly some of the clips that we heard before we get to the callers, emails, all that. That first segment already talked about the Juneteenth nuttiness, white people clowning as usual. If we do have folks who had any of that in the workplace, I guess if you got the day off, you can let us know. That's constructive. You got a paid day off, whoopee. But anything else, like I said, Watermelon Day, Fried Chicken Day, both, eh. The next segment, they talked about the young fellas. Now, I've said for a long time as well, school, work, same thing. They talked about the young cadets, and you have to get some sort of reference, letter of reference. And they talked about how infrequently black students, non-white students, get these letters of recommendation. And I mean, hey, you can say that this is meritocracy and all of that. I don't think that that is the case. And especially with we're talking about the demographics, you've got growing numbers of non-white young people. Fertility problems and everything that they keep talking about and talking about and talking about. You don't have as many young white people all over the world, it seems. So that is even more surprising that you would have all these younger non-white people who are not getting, or I can't say surprising, but should be more, it should stand, it should be even more significant. It should cause even more alarm. That's what they want, though. Should not. That's, I think, the way it should be framed. And that's why we have to talk to our young folks about racism, white supremacy, because they are probably the young people that are not getting those references, not getting those opportunities. A lot of times you end up internalizing that and thinking that it's something deficient about me and my brain computer, that these other folks are working hard, doing things that I'm not doing. And that's not the case, where they're getting assistance, help, resources that are not being offered to you. Very common occurrence within this system. Let's see. Next. So we had two different segments talking about the workplace and whole COVID situation, returning to that. I guess with the latter, again, if we have folks, let us know how the whole adjustment return to the workplace is going. Are they doing vaccine mandates? I have seen in a few spots where they're talking about that sort of thing. I'd say especially it seems colleges and universities especially are talking about mandates. I've actually seen a little of some workplaces what they're talking about requiring either you have to disclose your test status and or you have to be vaccinated or disclose whether you have been vaccinated or not. Other places, seems like they're saying absolutely not. We would not tolerate such intrusive policies. And some local politicians are saying, no, we're going to put laws in place to say that employers cannot ask these type of questions and or mandate that you get vaccinated or be tested or anything like that. So this is when it super depends on where you are geographically as to what you may or may not be required to do in your workplace and, you know, what sort of protections you may have. They talked about some people losing their job. They didn't want to get vaccinated, didn't meet the exemptions, and so they got suspended. That, as I said, just depends on where you are, what type of employer. They said that in the clip repeatedly. A lot of employers, they have lots of discretion about how they want to proceed in managing all of this. So, I mean, wow, this is one of those environments where you have to just be very, very informed about how you want to proceed, what you're able to sacrifice, what you're willing to sacrifice, and just try to get as much information as possible. This is one where I've said for a long time, policy and procedure. We've said for about the last year and a half now, policy and procedure has changed for some folks almost on a daily basis. You really want to check policy and procedure on this one, because they said for some of these places they did have exemptions. Some of these places they didn't. Some of these places they said, oh yeah, employers, they can have a segregated workplace. I said, oh man, that's the caller in Florida. See, he said we got us over here in the segregated section, the colored place. But so they can have a segregated section where these are the vaccinated folks, these are the unvaccinated folks over here. You would really have to check all of that and maybe ask questions if they have some sort of session with HR or representative to come in and explain all of this and what they're doing to keep people safe, if they're transitioning people back to the workplace or some sort of hybrid model. Lots and lots of questions. And again, you have to be the person safeguarding, prioritizing your health and well-being, because as a black person, system of racism, no one cares about your health, safety, well-being. So you have to be the one, you know, deciding I'm going to take this seriously, whatever that means for you, distancing, vaccine, mask, whatever that means for you. You have to have that policy and then make sure, you know, you can do all that you can to try to keep yourself safe, because I think the metaphor they use in there, it's been like the Wild Wild West. What does that mean? Like, I thought when they say that frequently, they talk about gunslingers and somebody's going to die or be shot, maybe fatally injured. Like, why are we describing this environment as the Wild Wild West? That doesn't sound safe. Gunfights can be kind of reckless, I thought. Anywho, the number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Now, I got an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. An email, one of our investors sent me this. Now, she said, it's a report. It's like a 50-page report, PDF. I guess I could share. You can get it yourself. But this is in the UK. So they wrote up this big document. I was going to say wasted all this paper, but I guess you can just get the PDF. It says, Moving the Dial on Race, a Practical Guide on Workplace Inclusion. Now, you see, I didn't say racism. I didn't say white supremacy. Moving the Dial on Race, a Practical Guide to Workplace Inclusion. I don't even know what that means. And they have on the front cover, and it looks, this is like a glossy, nice picture publication. So they probably spent thousands of dollars, the folks who put this project together, Chartered Management Institute, CMI. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. And then they have the first picture, Delroy Beverly, Senior Manager, CCMI, Managing Director of York Teaching Hospital. And they have all his credentials. I'm not going to read it all. It says, Six Steps for Better Managers to Move the Dial. I'll just read number one and then we'll hit the phone lines. Maybe I'll sprinkle in some of the other tips as they go. Number one, support for people who face racism. Prioritize anti-racism. Lead with empathy. Educate themselves. Create safe spaces. Encourage true identities at work. Now, most of that, I have no idea what that means. Encourage true identities at work. What if my true identity is a rapist? Jeffrey Toobin, you do have sexual predators in the work environment, yes? Lead with empathy. What does that mean? Create safe spaces. What does that mean? This whole block for number one concludes, practical step, schedule a conversation with colleagues who face racism to better understand their experiences and agree how the conversation might best continue. All of that's nonsense. They didn't say anything in there about solving problems. What problems do you experience with racism in the workplace, and how can we solve those problems? Not how can we come in and you talk to me about racism and then we'll just continue having this conversation. That is a total, that's just like Juneteenth, exactly what I said when I looked at that picture, total waste of time. That's what I think about this big, huge document, Moving the Dial on Race, a Practical Guide on Workplace Inclusion. What I just read you, nothing about that sounds practical. Encourage, how is that a practical solution? Encourage true identities at work. Anywho, we will get to folks who dialed in. If you have commentary, if we have folks who, if you celebrated Juneteenth, let us know. If you are adjusting to the COVID situation in your workplace, let us know how folks are getting along with all of that. If you have other issues, if things are going well, outstanding, let us know how you have been able to pull that off. If things are not going well, that is also something you can share. Let us know if you have specific issues that you would appreciate counter-racist logic to help solve problems without creating new problems. Number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. And folks are doing their spectating. Once again, I thought I had said it once before. This is not a broadcast for spectators. On two ways, it's not a broadcast for spectators. In terms, this would not be the place if I am not experiencing any issues in the workplace. Every time I go to work, I have raises, uneaten packages of peanut M&Ms and other delectables. If that is the case, at minimum, then you should have tips. It shouldn't be I'm just going to call in and put my feet up and listen to niggers struggling in the workplace. You should have suggestions, helpful strategies. We would like to have that same sort of peaceful, tranquil workplace experience. Now, the other, as Dr. Welsing, myself, have said for a long time, I just seriously doubt, like, man, how in the world could we, in the cows audience, pack up all of these victims of racism who have nothing of note happening in their workplace? That is suspicious, to say the least. Anywho, let's see. Caller at 5652. Do you have either some tips to share with other victims of racism or issues in the workplace that you wanted to share? 5652.
Yes, Gus. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Gus, callers, listeners. This is a black female from South Carolina who used to live in New York. Glad to be on the line with the counter-racist comrades, family members. So, I am retired, and I have my own business, which I run out of my home. One of the things about working from home, you often people come by, you know, do things for you, like, you know, the cable person, somebody fix something, what have you. So I'm always mindful of, you know, the fact that I'm having white people in my home to do this thing that, you know, I pay them to do. So I had somebody come in to fix my one of my systems here. And there's a white male, a racist suspect. And while he was doing it and everything, fixing everything, and I hear him on the line on his phone, personal cell phone, or maybe work phone, I don't know, talking to one of his colleagues about somebody named Terrell. And Terrell was just horrible. He's just doing all the wrong things, and I don't know, and I can't believe he said that. He's talking, you know. So I'm just kind of like on the side with my mask on. You know, he got his mask on in another room, but I could still see him and I could hear him. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know too many white males named Terrell. That sounds like a brother. Okay, so that went off in my head, right? So anyway, he's going on and he's fixing stuff, and then he starts talking about, oh, well, you know, I've been with the company for so and so many years, and I know when people are saying the wrong things, and the person on the phone definitely told you the wrong thing. And just like I was telling my coworker about this, you know, this guy that, you know, we work with, and he cuts his hand with the box cutter, and you're not supposed to have box cutters on the job anyway. So I don't know why he tells the guy that, tells our supervisor that. And, you know, because I'm a company guy, and, you know, they kind of put me out here, you know, just to make sure everything is okay and to watch things and just to make sure that, you know, we're giving the best customer service, because that's how he led off to me. Like he was talking to me about customer service, right? So I said, okay. Then he goes, yeah. And then he, you know, and then, you know, he goes in, another guy goes in and staples stuff to wire to people's outside of their homes. How would you like if somebody staples some wire to the outside of your home? That's in your vinyl, and although that vinyl or whatever that is, that costs money and they damage it. I'm saying to myself, okay, this is what I got from the conversation. You a company guy. They put you out there to watch these black brothers on the job, okay, and report back to them. However, is it appropriate for you to be discussing that with the customer in the customer's home while you're supposed to be doing your job? I didn't think so. So it ran across my mind. It's been in my mind for a minute. And you mentioned, Gus, that this is about solving problems without making new problems. Okay? I'm feeling for Terrell and whoever the other this other brother is who's stapling wires to people's vinyl. So what I said to the guy was, I let him go on and on and on and on, right? So I just looked at him and I said, well, perhaps they should be retrained. And he got real quiet. Like, you know, I said something that he wasn't expecting to come out of my mouth. Because I was like, oh, that's terrible. How do I have people? No. Perhaps they need to be retrained, right? And he got quiet, and he totally stopped talking about it. But I'm thinking, should I make a report to the company, to ADT, and let them know that, you know, I didn't appreciate, you know, all of this extra banter about things that happened on the job while he was supposed to be doing his job. Because, like I said, it is a company that, you know, that I use for one of my systems. And I don't want to cause a problem because I'm not the electronics girl. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what can be done. You understand? In the event of emergency or something like that. What I'm looking at is, like, I don't want it to be something that's going to backfire on me. So if anybody has any suggestions about that, any comments or any feedback, I would appreciate it. But I'm glad I was able to call in and speak about this to this forum, because it is still bothering me. So if anybody can give me any feedback, I'd appreciate it. And I'll mute my line. Thanks for listening.
Much obliged, black female caller in South Carolina by way of New York. We've had a few folks who work from home or retired, both, and they have needed services done in their residence, and workplace racism ends up being a problem in that manner. Some folks we've had, you know, have hired non-white people, and they still ended up having problems. Hired white people had problems. So one of those, it's good to have a code, especially when you're going, as she was talking about, our call in South Carolina, when you're having people who are going to be in your residence, having a code about, you know, how you're going to deal with that most efficiently and being kind of mindful of what they're doing, how they're functioning in your residence. Now, this situation comes in, no count to rail. Man, he messes everything up. Man, this guy's lame. And I'm a company guy, you know. I'm here to make sure that everybody, you all get the best customer service. You know, got to mess around with no count to rail, messing things up and doing a halfway job for getting things installed and set up correctly. In my opinion, you hit the nail on the head. Professional. Now, let's say Terrell is classified as black. Let's say Terrell is the worst employee ever. Let's say that all that is accurate. He messes everything up. Anything that can be messed up, that's what he's going to do all day long. Let's say all that's true. Is that the professional way? If there is an employee who's having a problem, do you go out? You're working on other people's residences, customers. Do you go out and badmouth Terrell there? Or do you go directly, even if you're going to fire Terrell? You just go and get him in the office. Sorry, Terrell. You're just not cutting the mustard, as they say. And we're going to have to get someone who's a little more qualified, a little bit more up to snuff. That's due process, I think. That, in fact, of late we have been saying more. Neely Fuller Jr., he says no name calling. He also says no gossiping. This just sounds like straight gossip. Like, we're not trying to solve a problem. We're not trying to fire Terrell. We're not trying to retrain Terrell. All we want to do is sit around and talk about no count Terrell. She said, man, I don't know too many white Terrells. Is Terrell a black person? To just sit around and, oh, no count this. No count that. And then she does the beautiful, that remind me of Mr. Edward Williams. He said they sit around and do this gossiping, because apparently that's something that happens frequently in workplaces where they just sit around. Oh, and Teddy is no counted. Oh, he's just the lamest worker ever. And oh, I hate Robbie, and Terrell is the worst. Who do you think is the worst between Robbie and Terrell? Oh, that's a tough one. Boy, you got two no count lame black people right there. And all day long. Well, wait a minute. Sounds like Terrell could use some help. You think it's possible we could help Terrell? Crickets. Crickets.
Same exactly.
Thing. See? Exact yes. Same thing. That's what she said when she came. It's like, man, maybe you think Terrell needs to be retrained?
Got quiet.
This nigger. We don't retrain Terrell. Let me hurry up and get out of her home. Train Terrell. Are you serious? Are you serious? And I mean, that's what it is. Well, I mean, why would that provoke silence? Like, why wouldn't that be? Wow. I hadn't considered that. Ma'am, you are spectacular. I'm going to go back and suggest that, because maybe Terrell just didn't get the best training. We'll go back and see if we can get him retrained. And then, hey, I'm a company man. I'm about having well-trained colleagues at the company, you know. No. We just don't want old Terrell, Tyrone, none of them. Get them all out of here. Once you're asking for suggestions, my opinion, and I totally feel it. If you're not an electrical person, I'm not either. Don't want to cause any extra problems. What I do think you could do is... And Dr. Kanban, he's talked about writing a letter. I found in 2021, and I think some other people have said this too, like if you can email like the owner of the company, you can do like the specific branch manager, but I would also look for the owner as well in contact. Most of the time that information will be there. And just let them know, hey, I've had great customer service and I recently had so-and-so, if you got the person's name, so-and-so out to do service at my residence. The problem was taken care of, if it was, the problem was taken care of and all that, and I've enjoyed the service. I just wanted to mention that while such and such was here, he was talking about another employee as being incompetent or not a quality employee. I don't know this person, but to me, it didn't seem professional to be talking bad about another worker while you're at a customer's residence. That just seems unprofessional. It seems like that's the sort of conversation that should be had in a work environment. You can talk to Darrell directly or whatever, but I just don't know why you would be at a customer's residence while you're doing an installation or providing whatever service, why you would be talking bad about a coworker under those circumstances. I just ask them, like, do you think that's the best way to go about delivering customer service? You can even put it in the form of a question. Do you think that's the best way to go about delivering customer service? Question, like, even though this is not your workplace, we still get back to the question lane and have them explain, because I can't think of too many work environments where it'd be, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We like to go out. You see police shootings and things where we don't discuss personnel matters in public. My goodness, that's a private personnel matter. That's what they say. Right on. That's professional. Not let's go out and gossip about Terrell and tell every Tom, Dick, and Susan what a lame, no-count employee Terrell is, and we ought to get rid of him. We definitely are not going to invest any time and energy retraining Terrell. My goodness.
Thank you for that. I will take that into account, work on that, and I'm going to provide you with a follow-up when I receive it, because I'm sure I will.
Much obliged. Let us know how it goes. If we have any other folks, I said, it feels like we've had a rack of people who have had like folks come to do service in their home. And that ended up being the workplace racism right there, having to deal with all that and, you know, various problems and all that. If folks have any other suggestions on the best way to resolve, yes, resolve, because she said it, anything like that too, where she said it's a problem, where it was something that caused you a problem or bothered you and it continued from that moment, then I'd say yes, you should put some time and energy to see if you can address that. And I would just let them know that might be something where they can either contact him directly about his conduct and make a change. I don't know if I would mention Terrell specifically because you don't know anything about him, but at minimum to get them to stop that. Anything that I think reduces gossiping in the workplace is constructive, because there is so much of that and it seems so much it ends up being targeting the Terrells. Black females, black males in the workplace, that ends up being the subject of so much, or we end up being the subject of so much workplace gossip, even when it's exclusively non-white people. So, yeah, anything, if you can call in or message and the result is that they minimize some of the gossip in the workplace, that is a win. Maybe Terrell can stay employed and get some training. Let's see. Mo in Dallas should be with us as well. We'll give out the number one more time before we get him. The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Mo in Dallas should be with us. Good to hear from you, sir.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Greetings, Gus. Greetings, listeners and callers. Again, thank you for the program. I have one. I came into the audio segments kind of tardy, but I did make one note about the vaccinated people in the work environment. It was in that segment. From what I heard, I believe I heard that some vaccinated people were concerned about the non-vaccinated people around them not wearing masks and things of the sort. It was, to my understanding, the purpose of the vaccine was to keep the individual who received the vaccine from contracting the virus. You understand? So I really don't, I guess, like, understand how that could be the purpose of the vaccine, and still you worry about a non-vaccinated person. If you have yours, you should be fine. So if I'm in error, if somebody could correct me, I'd appreciate it. But I definitely thought you got the vaccine so that you yourself would not worry about contracting this affliction. And if that is the case, then what is the concern with another person who's not vaccinated? Because if they do get sick, shouldn't the vaccine protect you? A couple of things from my work environment. I have two, I guess, anecdotal type of stories that a white male decided to tell me. I've never met this man before this day. But these are the stories, and they were very interesting. A U.S. Military group, fleet, or, you know, people that were in the Army, or Marines, I think they were on the coast near Asia, and had issues with air and rust and sand with their weapons. The sergeant ordered 100,000 condoms to put over their ARs to keep them clean, dry, and functional. That's one. And it was another condom innuendo. He said, "Hey, this was kind of a joke," because he laughed at the end. In Scotland, there was a general. Sorry for the noise.
Interrupted our condom stories. I was looking forward to the second one. I guess we'll have to be patient, get it in installments.
I'm back. I'm back, Gus.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So a general, it was in Scotland. There was a general that took an old used condom to be repaired. It was torn to ribbons. The general asked the shopkeeper how much to repair it. The shopkeeper answered $3. And then the general asked how much for a new one, a condom. The shopkeeper says 75 cents. And the general's response to that is, okay, the regiment will pay for it, and left. What does that mean? Because he laughed, and I was confused. That's my question. What does that mean? I did not understand that joke. I did not laugh with him. I just didn't get that. Two other, I guess, tidbits. A coworker of mine that I've spoken about a couple of times on this program, an Asian male, my employer has an incentive for those who receive the vaccination. It's not a requirement, but you are incentivized with $200, okay, if you received it. And you do get a card that you submit to receive your payment. So he did these things. The next day, he went back to the vaccine site and claimed he didn't see them give him the shot. He didn't feel them give him the shot. So he believes he didn't get the shot. He demanded another shot and another $200. And he was forcibly removed from the campus by security because of that. And my final thing that happened to me, sorry, it involves Juneteenth. It was very tacky the way they did this. So Juneteenth is tomorrow, and an email went out, and I'll explain the things that I felt tacky. The email was like celebrating Juneteenth, and it had black fists on it and all of that. And then towards the bottom of the email, it says, if you would like to learn anything about Juneteenth, you recommend these following movies. And they recommended Amistad, Glory, 12 Years a Slave, Django Unchained. Those were the movies they recommended to immerse yourself in whatever Juneteenth is. And it also said that Juneteenth was the day that Southerners emancipated the slaves, which wasn't accurate. I thought they were emancipated during the Gettysburg Address. Now, the tacky thing about this, along with the movies, was the time that this email was sent out. It was sent out, like, if you ask me, the author of this email, right before they left. It was very late in the day, and by the time coworkers read it, pretty much the office personnel were out for the weekend. Tacky, tacky, tacky. I think the email was sent around 3 o'clock, 2:42, something like that, and everybody leaves at 3. So that's what I have. Thank you. I mute my line.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Wait until the end of the day, everyone is gone, and then, oh, forgot to send out our Juneteenth reminder. Let's go ahead and send it out. It's 4:45. We think everyone leaves at 5, but we'll get it out just in case, and maybe a few folks will get it, because Juneteenth is important, and we want folks to know that we recognize and appreciate Juneteenth. Amen. Amen. And Quentin Tarantino, I mean, we all, who doesn't love Django? Right in the middle of the Obama administration. Can't believe it's almost been 10 years since Django. My goodness. But yeah, Django, Glory, everybody loves Morgan Freeman. The great Denzel Washington. Surprised they didn't put the help on there. As for the jokes, now, I am not an expert on all of these condom jokes and prophylactics in the workplace. And although, I mean, that right there, like, I thought we're in the Me Too. Like, is this appropriate? Talk about professional. Is this appropriate? for a work environment? Like, what in the world? All of that said, I didn't get the joke either. I'd probably have to listen to it over and over again or whatever. Not the most intelligent person. But again, I wouldn't really be in the frame of mind of these sort of like raunchy jokes. Again, same type of thing. Like, is this professional for the work environment? This type of a joke. Is this the sort of thing that we should be doing to make sure that everyone feels safe in their work environment? Let's see. As for the vaccine, now my understanding as someone who is not a medical professional, I had the same understanding that you did, Mo and Dallas, that you get the vaccine, that's for your protection. The reason that they're saying that if you are vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask and go by the rest of the guidelines and things is because you are supposed to be protected. So you, if you were in an environment where there were people who are not vaccinated and not wearing masks and all of the rest, you, if you are vaccinated, would not be at risk. So, yeah, to your point, there shouldn't be concern if you are vaccinated and you're in a work environment and there are people who are not vaccinated. It shouldn't be, unless I have missed something, unless I think if you get infected, you might still be able to transmit. Like, you can be infected, but you're not going to get sick, I think. If you have the vaccine, you shouldn't get any of the serious side effects and things of that nature. But I think you might still be able to transmit if you get sick. So I guess there might be some people who, let's say they are vaccinated, but if they have, like, children or family members, per se, who are not vaccinated, who might be risky populations, that might be a cause for concern if they're around other people who are not. But yeah, I thought it was the same thing, that if you are vaccinated, there shouldn't be a risk to you. Like I said, unless you know, are at risk of getting it, and then you might transmit it to someone who has not been vaccinated in your household, type of a thing. As for the fellow that you were talking about with the whole game in the system, there's some sort of $200 incentive. Incidentally, the all the incentives, like, wow, they have gotten imaginative. Like, here in Seattle, you can get drugs if you get vaccinated. Like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I guess they have in a lot of places you can get alcoholic beverages too. If you get vaccinated, they have things set up where I guess if you can show proof or whatever, you can get a free drink or whatever it is. But I mean, I don't know what to say. I didn't think that was something to be proud about. All kinds of free tickets and lotteries and all the rest of it. Anyway, so Mo and Dallas says their system, it was supposed to be $200. Get vaccinated, this fella. You know, you didn't give me the jab, and I demand another jab and another $200. And security had to remove him. Man, it's been so much just zaniness around all of this. Who knows? The person was just trying to run some sort of scheme to get an extra $200. Maybe he didn't get the vaccine. Who knows? It's just been craziness through and through this year. That's why I said I would be real alert, very mindful about things that are happening, because you just never know when you're going to walk in the middle of, whoa, what is going on here? I guess that's another thing to think about too. If they're doing vaccines at your actual work site, like, wow, that's a whole nother level of processing. And do you want to go through all that red tape in your work environment, or would you rather have that separate and be vaccinated elsewhere? Just something to think about. Yeah, the end of the day tackiness. I feel like we've heard that as well, also, where there was something related to black people. I don't know if it was a Black History Month type of a thing, but something similar, and they waited till the end of the day. And that's when I've seen individuals in work environments, they know how to be professional. They know how to send things out so that everybody in the company can see the information. We send it out at the beginning of the day. Maybe we send it out late evening Thursday, so it'll be the first thing in everybody's mailbox when they come in Friday morning, and then you have all day Friday to see it. They know how to do it. No. We'll send it out at 4:59. Catch a straggler or two on Friday evening. Friday heading into Father's Day, by the way, so that's kind of a pseudo holiday weekend. Some folks might cut out a little early, got plans, go visit the family and all that stuff. Right on. Juneteenth in the middle of all that. Much obliged, Mo and Dallas. Does not get any better than tacky. So I guess for suspense, if we have any folks, if you think you have the What is the joke that we heard, the prophylactic joke? I think it was something of the nature, how much is it to repair the condom? $3. How much is a new condom? 75 cents. Okay, the Navy will pay for it. I probably botched it, but it seemed like that was pretty close. If folks got the, what is the joke? What is the humor? Let us know. Not that big. I don't think us getting that joke is going to help us solve white supremacy racism. And I just, snickering or veiled commentary about penises or things associated with penises coming from white people in a work environment, just, psh, I am good. This in no way, shape, form seems related to our work. Unless I'm mistaken. I didn't get the punchline, so unless I didn't figure it out, this is not relevant. Context of white supremacy. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Also, if we have any folks who have thoughts on black female caller in South Carolina, any recommendations how she can respond, having this white fella come in and badmouth old Terrell, who we think probably a black person, probably a black male with a name like Terrell. Our chart here, as I said, that gives like six different panels of ways that managers can help work against racism in the workplace. So I read the first one. True identities in the workplace, remember that? So number two reads, learn how to talk about race. Doesn't say racism. Don't generalize. Be specific and accurate. Somebody says that frequently. Put people first. Not sure what that means. Keep up with evolving terminology. Words are important. Practical step. Commit time each week to learn more about anti-racism. Guess read Timothy Wise, Peggy McIntosh, all the rest of it. Yeah, they have lots of black faces throughout this report. Lots of black non-white faces. There's one white person right there. Lots of black people look like they put this project together, and it still reads very much like what I would expect a white person to say and or write when it comes to white supremacy, racism. There are a few white women in the project. Looks like no white men, at least got a picture included in the... Oh, there's one. There's one. We got one towards the end, but all the main photographs and folks in the report, black people, non-white people, putting them at the forefront, if that, you know, means anything towards solving problems. While folks are getting their thoughts together, spectating, the Cows listener-supported counter-racist radio invest. If you think the Cows is constructive, visit the blog racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. Much obliged to all the investors who have supported 12 plus years. I hope the Cows has been, continues to be worthy of your time and energy. When you hit the blog, PayPal button is linked in the top right corner. You can also visit our Cash app, cash.app/$TheCows. Again, enormous gratitude to all of the investors who have kept the Cows rolling for more than a dozen years. Hopefully worthy of your time and energy. Let's see. Double checking to make sure I didn't miss any emails as well. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Yes, don't think I missed any emails. Okay. Just making sure. While folks are getting their thoughts together and or spectating, we should also be here tomorrow for a compensatory... We should be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, but we should also be here Sunday for a Global Sunday talk on racism. I told the folks across the water I am interested in hearing kind of where things are, because it seems like on the one hand, the whole COVID situation is kind of winding down here in the U.S. Like folks are like, you know, we're done with that, vaccinated, moving on, not doing any more of that distancing. And they, you know, dropped regulations and distancing in California. I think New York is about to drop theirs as well. Here in Washington State, that's about to happen too. So they kind of moved on here in the States. I am not sure if that's the case in other parts of the world. So Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, we'll check in Global Sunday Talk and see how that situation is evolving and kind of what they are anticipating for the summertime. That'll be this Sunday, but we'll be here tomorrow before we get to all that compensatory call-in. Other folks who dialed in with a hand-up, commentary to share if you have tips or your own situation, line should be open. Proceed.
Hi, Gus. May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First, I want to just, you know, thank you again. I've called in like a couple of times before, but I really appreciate you, you know, doing this show, because it really kind of opened my eyes up and kind of, you know, enabled me to navigate the workplace better. But I called probably about 2 months ago, and basically I was, you know, upset and I guess somewhat venting, because I had applied for two positions internally at my workplace. And in the past, I've informed my supervisors. And when I've done that, it's non-black supervisors. They had a tendency to, you know, take it personal, or, you know, feel that, you know, it was them. And a lot of the times it was, or, you know, I just wanted to promote or do better. But I had applied for two positions, I interviewed, and I did not inform my current supervisor. And what ended up happening, I didn't get either of those jobs. And I had told you that out of the blue, maybe like a day or so after I was informed I didn't get the job, this particular supervisor, you know, comes up to me and tells me, you know, how he heard, you know, that I had applied and interviewed for these two positions. And it kind of, you know, I expected them to, you know, do the unjust networking, which is commonly done. But he was very, you know, blatant, I thought, and very unprofessional to do that. But that's just part of it. But an update to that is that I decided to kind of attempt to take as much control of my life as possible in the system of, you know, white supremacy, which is not very much. And I decided to actually apply externally, which I know it's just another plantation, but on a positive note, I was offered a position at a school district, so I'm, you know, pretty excited about that. So I just kind of wanted to just call in and just kind of, you know, give that update. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like there, but what I'm trying to do is just kind of prepare, because I have not told my current supervisor yet, and I don't start until, you know, in August. But I just wanted to, you know, give you that update. But I also wanted to ask you for some or get some advice from you or other listeners on the best way to go about doing that, informing him in the best way possible that's going to minimize, you know, any potential, you know, backlash. In the past, I've given my 2 weeks notice and, you know, tried to create like training manuals and do everything that I could, but I still, that department, the departments I've worked for in the past, they still, you know, were like, you know, really angry. So do you have any advice or anything or recommendations that I should do, I guess, whenever I give them the 2 week notice, or anything to be cautious of? And that's all I wanted to call for.
Much obliged to our female caller. Let's see. Let me get the first portion of your commentary where the supervisor, non-black, is a white person or non-white, non-black person?
He's a white male.
This white guy, where he comes up, you said unprofessional. I heard you applied for this other job and all the rest of it. And I don't know why that would be something to be antagonistic about. I mean, we're all here trying to work. We're all here trying to better myself. Am I just supposed to try to get demoted or work as the custodian for my entire career? Am I not supposed to try to move up the ranks and get a better position and take on more responsibility? Is that something I shouldn't do in the workplace? Have aspirations, ambitions? That's what it sounds like, being penalized for having some ambition. Like, heard this nigger is trying to move up her status here, like, trying to get these other positions. I wouldn't respond at all. Just, yep, saw some openings, you know, we'll see if it works out. See what happens. Like, oh, if he's going to be rude, look at you, didn't even tell me, and all the rest of it. Like, oh, okay, if you think you can help me move up in the company, I will definitely let you know. I didn't know, you know, we had to apprise all of our colleagues and co-workers if we look to move up internally, but all right. As for the external move, I think I had mentioned earlier in this broadcast today about transitioning, I think, in a professional manner. What you've, you know, already shared, it sounds like these folks are kind of unprofessional anyway, and are probably going to be antagonistic, like, oh, look at this, moving up, trying to be an educator, and all the rest of it. I would probably be very tight-lipped in terms of I would not be going around and broadcasting, and this is where I'm going, this is what I'm going to be up to, just, nope, just trying to get some things in order, need some time, get the working on some things over the summer, and hoping to get some plans together. So yeah, just going to be working and hoping we'll see how things turn out for the fall. That's about it. I'd be real vague, deliberately nondescript. Thank everybody. The same thing that I was saying before. I would not wear my I wish a Karen would shirt the last few days. It would just be all about being professional and let's get out these fast few days. Make sure I clear my computer. I don't know if you have a, you know, work computer or whatever, but just making sure that I get everything complete, done in a professional manner even before that last day, so that you can transition and just, you know, work on getting ready for your new job. They've already, in my view, they've already kind of alerted you as to both ways. They've alerted you as to their kind of stance on you, not giving you these promotions or opportunities for other positions, and then the tackiness around it, unjust networking probably. So I would just keep that in mind. Very professional on the way out. Do all my work, dot all my T's, dot all my I's, cross all my T's, and try to give as little follow-up information as possible. And I guess go through the policy and procedure again to make sure, because we had some folks who were talking about there's certain things that are supposed to happen. I don't know if you have to do like an exit interview or things like it. There might be a procedure for exiting. That's what I'm saying about exiting professionally. Just make sure that you go over that. Make sure if you don't to make sure that you don't have to turn something back in, a uniform or any kind of crazy like that, where they try and give you some fines or something like that to try to punish you for being some sort of uppity, ambitious nigra. Just double check to make sure that you've done everything that you need to do so that you get all of your funds promptly with no shenanigans.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. And I also wanted to just share one last thing, if I may do so very briefly. Prior to this, you know, I had applied for other jobs internally and, you know, hadn't gotten them. And I work in local government, so I got kind of suspicious. And most of our files are available through the Public Information Act. Like, I think the public can request them, but we also have a right, you know, to go in and look at your personnel file. Well, you know, I got kind of curious and decided I was going to go look in mine, and I have all of my evaluations. Maybe they probably wouldn't matter because, you know, when it comes to, you know, a system of white supremacy, even if you have glowing reviews, doesn't really help you very much. But what I did discover is that my last performance evaluation that I done, that my previous supervisor, who was a black male, that he did for me, you know, it never made it to my personnel file. And luckily, you know, I try to be as thorough as possible at work. Whenever we, you know, completed it back in, I don't know, I'd say it was maybe like 6 months to a year ago, I had a copy of it where he had signed it and the upper level manager signed it, but they never put it in my personnel file. So I'm glad I kind of did it because it kind of,
you know, if anyone were to request that, you know, it wouldn't have shown the that particular most recent evaluation. So I thought that was just very interesting that somehow that positive evaluation didn't end up in my file. So once I discovered that, I, you know, sent HR, you know, a copy, you know, of it and requested that they add it to my file. But I thought that was really interesting how it, you know, my supervisor signed it, a black supervisor at the time, his white male manager signed it, but it never was forwarded over to HR. So that's one thing that I was able to, I guess, kind of catch, but I just found that really interesting.
That's some more unjust networking right there. And I mean, it's common. I can't say I could think of many examples immediately, but I mean, a performance review that is constructive, positive, somehow that's not in the file. That sounds like Geronimo Pratt. Things that, evidence that would tend to exonerate. Oh, we lost that. What do you mean? We got wiretape recordings that would seem to suggest he was not even in Los Angeles when this murder took place, and we just happened to lose the recordings. Darn. It's crazy how that consistently happens with the old niggers. And in my opinion, just, she said interesting. That's, you know, that's acceptable, but I would say it's substantially more sinister just because not having that information in a file, you go for one of these other jobs, a raise, they do some sort of evaluation, if it's close, even if it's not close, and they look at you have an evaluation from a supervisor, like, oh, wow, this person has been doing really great work for a long time. Look at this sterling evaluation. That's not there. And that sort of thing, I'm submitting, it's typical, and it's not an accident. It's not a whoops. It's not a filing error. It's not a mistake. And, you know, a document got stapled incorrectly or placed in another file. I'm saying that sort of thing is consistent. And particularly, this is a double whammy because this is a black employee, and she said a black manager who did the evaluation. So this is a twofer. We can discredit and evaluate the work of a black, I don't know if he's still there or not, but a former black manager, and this black employee who would have benefited from having, you know, this sparkling performance review, trash that, and you should get a copy. That great counter-racist codification right there. Any sort of review, especially where you got to put a signature on it, oh yeah. I need a copy for my own records and what have you. Imagine if she didn't have that in her records. Any sort of performance review, evaluation, you have got to get a copy for your records. This is so common, regardless whether it, you know, is the best review ever, or whether they're talking about you like they did Terrell. You have to get a copy of it, because, I mean, standard operating procedure. This is all the way through, I'd say, grade school, high school, all the way through this sort of conduct. Bravo.
Right. And I find it's you know, I don't want to say I'm passionate about, I am passionate about, you know, like learning counter code, and I'm passionate about trying to perfect it to get to that level where, you know, where you just really, like, I guess you're never going to understand the system of white supremacy, but being able to kind of navigate it effectively to not, you know, give yourself a heart attack or a stroke or anything, you know, like that, due to all the, you know, stress and frustrations. And a lot of times the things that happen in the workplace, they're external. It's due to the white supremacy, but we internalize it. And I did that actually prior to listening to your show for a long time, because I always thought, maybe it's something I'm doing. Maybe I did something wrong. I didn't do X, Y, Z. You know, try to do a lot of self-help to try to fix myself, but then I learned that it was the system. But one thing I have found is that once you become more knowledgeable and awake to white supremacy, then you become, I guess, the problem Negro. So, you know, by me kind of like requesting HR to, you know, in a professional way, of course, to add that document to my file, you know, I kind of got, you know, a side eye from,
you know, that upper level, you know, manager. So when you become, you know, very codified, very unemotional, precise, then you get that label of being the problem Negro. But again, you know, I just appreciate everything that you've done. And, you know, every week it's a good way to, you know, learn different strategies, you know, in the workplace.
Trying to use logic, help us solve some of these problems and, to improve our situation, hopefully, in the work environment, whether that's moving to a better plantation, she said, externally, or doing things to help get that raise. Now, I mean, even that, like, why not? I'm a dutiful employee who crosses all the T's, dots all the I's, took the performance evaluation seriously, what I'm doing well that I need to continue doing, things that I need to improve on. Why isn't it that? Why is that something to side-eye somebody over that, hey, my performance evaluation got lost? You didn't even say you made an accusation. Like, I'm accusing you all of practicing racism and you're trying to, you know, rob me of my good review and blah, blah, blah. No. Hey, it's not here and I happen to have a copy. Can we include this in the file? Oh, God. We got this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that for? Is this a forgery? Like, is there some concern that I have faked this, that I got a fake document here? No? This is everybody's signature? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Can this go back in the file? We should all be proud, right? Like, hey, we got an employee. That right there, in my view, reveals quite a bit about what it means to be white. The system of white supremacy. The same thing that I said before. You as a competent black employee, it should be, hey, we are proud to have you on the team. You are a valuable asset, and we got documented proof that you've been a valuable asset for a long time. No, you are an incompetent Negro and maybe a troublemaker that we need to keep an eye on. Like, why is that? Just because I kept my performance review? This is in exactly what I mentioned a second time. I get to repeat myself. My goodness. I said that earlier today. I said, system of white supremacy, when you don't identify that that's what it is, it's white people practicing racism. When you don't do that, yes, you end up taking it personal. There is something defective about me. I'm not working hard enough. I'm not doing the correct things. I must be some kind of slouch in the workplace because I'm just not getting the job done. No. That's not the case at all. In fact, that even happened to me. My little lame side job that I had when I was in school, I remember I didn't know anything about counter-racism or any of that. I didn't even care. I was just, you know, get a few nickels. Right. Okay. They went and did the performance review. I go talk. Don't ask any questions. That's always something you should do, ask questions too. But I didn't ask any questions, any of that. We get to the end, and he said, man, I did your review, white man. Man, I did your review and everything, and I went to check in with one of the co-managers, you know, to ask questions, you know, how does working with Gus, does he, you know, do things done, blah, blah. He said, oh, man, that's my favorite person to work with. And I said, oh, man, I should have talked to you first. I could have included that in the report. And see, that's the type of tackiness that I mean. Like, if you go and talk to somebody and they say, wow, that is my favorite employee, like, he is diligent, on time, reliable, gets things done, like, whoa, how is it that somehow, some way, that can't be added to the file? Why is that? That's what I mean about it's consistent within the system of white supremacy. You're just not valued as a black employee, a hard worker, you're diligent, you're on time, you're trying to get things done, you're ambitious, I'm trying to strive and move up in the company. You're a troublemaking Negro. Keep an eye on you. This one likes to keep documentation and things. We really got to keep an eye on her. Like, what kind of nonsense is that? Oh, that's the system of white supremacy racism. In my opinion, I think I'm paraphrasing our caller as well. When you understand that, it does a much better job so you don't internalize that stress and think it's you. No, this is white people practicing racism, white supremacy. I'm going to do my best to do some breathing exercises, do some yoga, nourish myself so that I'm not getting all riled up and furious about that. And then I can just go about my business and not be some. In fact, the last 2 weeks that I'm working, I'll expect even more shenanigans. In fact, I'll have questions and answers that I'm already thinking of. And they say, well, what job are you going to next? Where are you going? What are you going to be doing? Why are you leaving? I'll try and even think of answers so I won't have to be on the spot. I'll already have how I want to answer these questions, and they'll be specific so I don't give them one kernel of unnecessary information. That's how I'd be having an approach. Same thing I said before about leaving professionally, just being aware, particularly when you already know, like, these folks are not homies. They are going to be antagonistic down to the last 5 minutes. Already thinking in advance what I say, what I do, what I don't say, what I don't do. And I already got my office and things cleared out by, you know, 2 days. And not that I had a whole lot to clear out, because I don't have candy bowls and pictures and knickknacks all over my desk. Man, I saw a
toy. I don't do that either. I don't do that. And my rule, and black people used to, like my other people used to get upset because they used to joke and say, well, why don't you have X, Y, Z? And in my head, it's like, I never have an intention, Gus, to stay long. And you never know, any minute you could be fired. And I need to be able to grab, you know, what I have, which is pretty much nothing, maybe like a duster.
I love it. Music to my ears. See, you can have that duster out like 4 days in advance. That's nothing. I don't need a U-Haul and a dolly and all this. I got to go ask Bob after he's fired me. Can you get someone to help me take my pocket? I got my duster and I'm good. Like, let's ride. Like, and exactly the system of white supremacy. Like, you could be fired at any time. You don't have to do anything incorrect. You could be doing everything perfect. She says she had a sparkling employee evaluation and they threw it in the trash. That's just what I'm saying. They threw it in the trash. That's what I mean. You could be thrown out at any time. You don't want to have a whole lot of nonsense piled up at the desk. In fact, I just saw, I was watching television and they had a black female in this movie, victim of racism. They showed her at her computer terminal at her desk. She had every, like, it looked like a child. Like, you talk about infantilization of black people. It looked like a child. Like, every wax figures and walking cheeseburgers. And, I mean, just, is this your work area? Or does, like, a five-year-old come and play here for a few hours a day? Like, nothing. No pictures. Nothing in your working. I don't care if you've been working there 25 years. Great. I hope you get to work there for another 25 years with an astounding salary. But you don't have knickknacks. This is not my office. I mean, all of that just sends the wrong message. And it sends the message that you are way too comfortable. This is not your office. This is not your desk. This is not your computer. All of this can be taken back any time. It's very important to keep that in the forefront of our mind at all times. Much obliged, ma'am. I guess let us know how the last few weeks go. And so, especially since I just said that, so we'll have lots of different examples of transitioning professionally. So you definitely, same thing I've been saying, not creating any new problems over those last few days, not wearing any crazy t-shirts or anything like that, nothing with any writing on it. And I've already thought about, you know, what type of questions they might ask me and how I will respond.
Okay. Thank you, Gus. I appreciate it. I'll update you guys.
For sure. For sure. Always appreciate the updates. Always appreciate the updates. Let's see if we have any, I guess. So if you have any other folks who have tips, for our female caller who's trying to transition, right? If you all have any suggestions for her, ways that she can kind of stay safe going out, you can share on that one. We had the, I guess, tip, from our female caller in South Carolina about the racist who came in doing the work in her residence and was complaining about Terrell. What, if anything, should be done about that situation. She said it bothered her. So if you have any tips on, you know, what she can do about that, that'd be great too. If you have your own incident that you'd like to discuss, feel free. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, proceed.
May I be heard?
Miss Tien with us. Very first yoga retreat in Virginia. Yes, ma'am. Good to hear from you.
Nice to be here tonight. Contract employee. At the end of the year, it's going to be 2 years since I've been working contract with this company. Been working from home ever since March of last year, which is great. Been able to walk 3 miles in the morning every day before work. I expressed to my supervisor that, you know, I wanted to become an employee of the business and, you know, to move away from contract work and become a full-time employee. He expressed to me several times, you know, the amazing work that I'm doing on my job and how we cleaned everything up and everything is in order now. And about a month ago, he expressed that this position that I'm working should be a full-time position anyway. For once, this position is not ever going anywhere. They're going to always need this position in this company. And he expressed that, you know, awesome job. I'm going to talk to my supervisor, he said, and see if we can make this position a full-time position. That was like over, I'll say, a month ago. And I spoke with him last week, and we were talking, having our biweekly Zoom meeting, and I brung up, I'm like, have you talked to your supervisor about making this position a full-time position? And he was like, well, he's been kind of busy and I'm not able to get in contact with him. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm still looking forward to making this position full-time. Today, we had a Zoom call. My supervisor, his supervisor, and the other people on our team were all a part of that Zoom call today. Just a brief 15-minute Zoom call to congratulate the people who've been with the company for many of years. One lady, 35 years. Another guy who's been with the company for 15 years. And so they're like, you know, talking back and forth about all of the things that the company has done and their experience with the company since they've been with the company. And in that call, my supervisor, which is the guy who I think is the guy who's going to, I guess, move forward or give the okay of whether or not they're going to make my position a full-time position. He says in the banter back and forth of everybody talking about, you know, working at this company, he says to me, yeah, Chastity, you know, these guys been here for 35 years. I'm like, we have some catching up to do. And I said to my, you know, I didn't respond to it because I'm saying to myself, I am not an employee. So I didn't respond to that. And I thought that was, I don't know. He told me last week he didn't talk to the guy, but this guy is making some type of we need to have some catching up to do. So I felt that was kind of, I don't know, tacky for him to make that comment, given the fact that I'm not an employee. So I kept quiet on that. My husband, he's been working with a company, and right now he's being, in my opinion, retaliated against. My husband, he's been on his job for 7 years. He acts as a lead when his supervisor is not in. A couple of months ago, well, I say about 3 weeks ago, he had his evaluation. With his evaluation, what he does when he acts as a lead, you know, he write down all the supervisory things that he does when his lead is not in. So when he comes to his evaluation, he has a list of things or accomplishments to bring to the table to, I guess, validate, you know, him trying to move up in the company. So he had his last evaluation, and in his evaluation, he normally gets very good, but for some reason in this evaluation, he went from a very good to a good. And he's very mindful of what's going on within the company because there's a position that's coming up available for a promotion that he could be that he will be qualified to be promoted to that position. So he knows that his evaluation, coupled with his years and his experience, plays a lot into whether or not he's going to get promoted to that position. And so he recognized that his supervisor has downgraded his evaluation from very good to good, and he knew what was going on, and he expressed to his supervisor what is going on, and he told him, I see what you're doing. You have other people in mind for this position, so you're downgrading me from very good to good, even though you're saying to me, there's nothing bad I could say about you, you're doing a great job. And then he brings to the table all of his accomplishments for filling in as supervisor, but still, he goes from downgrade from very good to good, and he calls his supervisor out on it, and now at this point, he's being retaliated against. Now, when his supervisor's not in, he's no longer given that opportunity to step in as a lead person and take over. So he's, I guess, stressed from that standpoint of he's being retaliated against because he brought to the table that he knew exactly what his supervisor was doing and he laid it out on the table. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Wow. So let's see. That's the evals come up again. Black people and black people doing competent work. That's something that I've stressed for years on this broadcast. Black people doing excellent work. Not lazy. Not some, you know, I'm just going to come in and do some old kind of halfway job and I don't care about this place. And with the Cracker Jack employees. On time, responsible, doing the work of 2-3 people sometimes. And she said that about the whole family. She said that the white fella told her, you and apparently some of the other folks who are not full-time employees cleaned up this place. It was a wreck. Can't get you full-time though. But man, you all have put in work. Husband, same thing. Supervisory duties. White fella goes home. He takes in, and I love it, writes down all of his tasks, responsibilities. Same thing we heard from a previous female caller. Hey, I'm ambitious. I'm trying to move up in the company. I just don't want to be a janitor for the whole time. I want to try and move up like everybody else. We're getting excellent performance. Now, same thing, different strategy. Now, with the female caller, she got an excellent performance review. Hers, they lost it. Threw it in the trash. That's what I said. Miss T and her husband, he's been getting sparkling reviews, taking over supervisory duties, not getting paid for it, I'm sure, when he does this when the manager's not there. He goes in like, hey, we got a position. I'm already supervising half the time anyway. Like, I should be right in. Like, yeah. I don't know about very good. Good. Maybe average. Like, what? I've been doing all this. Like, what is going on? What is going on? I said that for years. Like, you are not valid. The system of white supremacy, racism is not about, yeah, they're coons and ignorance and all that, but we might have one or two of them that are kind of intelligent, and, you know, we will acknowledge that they are intelligent. They're still coons, but we will acknowledge that and allow them to be better. You do not understand the system of white supremacy. That's not what this is about at all. Doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter how valuable you are to the company, doesn't matter how long you've worked there. The system of white supremacy is about mistreating black people. Period. Now she said with her situation, now that's another common one too. We have employees, we don't have to pay these niggers. We don't have to give these niggers benefits. Oh, no. we'll keep them as temporary. We've had so many listeners over the years. Thomason, New York, and folks who called in, they'll talk about, they'll have all these devious, talk about unjust networking. They'll have all these kind of deceitful schemes. You've been doing outstanding work. My goodness, hardest worker that we got here. We got to get you full-time. This should be a full-time position. And the position becomes full-time if they have you temporary for, I think it's like 90 days. They'll have some sort of temporary threshold, whatever the number is. We'll say 90 days. They'll wait till like day 89. You'll be like, got to let you go, sorry. And then they'll bring you back on a brand new contract starting the next day or the next week and start the whole 90-day process over again. That becomes the institutional practice for the Negros. Saying, and we've heard this from so many people, it's like the lame cliche, right, where they do, not that I'm encouraging people to watch television or anything, but they do like lame sitcom dramas and things where they'll have a female and she's having an affair with a man, and he says, I'm gonna leave my wife. I'm gonna leave her this week. Oh yeah. You and I, we're gonna hook up and go to Hawaii and all that. Leaving my wife this week. And he just keeps saying that for the next 5 years, that type of a thing. That is the same tired cliche. The white metaphor. The same thing though. The white fellow on the job. Oh, Miss Tien, you are doing spectacular work. Oh. And you're right. This should be a full time position. You have earned it. I'm gonna talk to my supervisor and we're gonna make it full time. And then they just keep saying that and keep saying that. Oh, we couldn't make time. And next week, I'll talk to him. And you wait, Miss Tien, we'll do it. And they just keep going on and 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 on. If it was really that important, you could have, I mean, you don't have an iPhone? Really? It's 2021. Really? They lie. And then they retaliate. The unjust, just another form of the unjust networking with her husband, who's supervising and doing all this extra work. He points out, like, hey, man, there's no justification for me going from very good to good. I've been doing outstanding work. I've been supervising. How did I go to good? This is the same thing we just heard from the female caller. Isn't that crazy? Same pattern with the evaluations. Look at this nigger. It's not. You know, you're right. You've been supervising and we're not even compensating you for, you're right. We're gonna go back and look at this review. Nope. We have got it out for you, buddy. We are gonna sit around every day and figure out how we can stick it. Like, what is that? Like, I've been working here all this time, dutifully employed. That's what it means to be white, to practice white supremacy racism. Those performance evaluations, I can't, and that right there is a major part of how they justify, right, when they don't want to give us these, whether it's a raise, whether it's a promotion, and moving up internally. The female caller talked about that before, maybe getting officially and being the supervisor. We heard Ms. Tien's husband. That's a part of how they do it. They stonewall you with all this fake paperwork nonsense, where they'll lose, throw in the trash if you got good evaluations, or they'll find ways of getting in other critiques. They'll get the fellow, like he was talking bad about Terrell, they'll get him to include some sort of negative performance evaluation, like, oh yeah, Terrell was horrible today, like he messed up this and came in late, broke the wrench, and all this other wacky. That will find its way into your performance folder. Oh yeah, the sparkling review from the black manager, oh no, man. That's going in the trash in 5 minutes. All of that becomes a part of the shenanigans. Same thing, like I said, my personal experience. The white fella told me, I went and asked one of the co-managers. He said, you're his favorite person to work with. Reliable, dependable. I said, man, I should have spoke with you before I did the evaluation. Duh, nah. Can we get an addendum? Do you have a stapler? Can I run across the street and get a stapler? No. Black people. They say Black Lives Matter. No, not even Black employee, not even competent Black employees matter. Much obliged, Miss TN. Tacky through and through. Let's see. Number again, 720 716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, if we have any folks who have any recommendations, our female caller who's getting out of there, moving on to better things, for how she can safely, professionally navigate her last 2 weeks, I guess, or last few days or whatever it is. Any tips for her and our female caller in South Carolina who had the racist home experience, we'll call it that way, bad mouthing Terrell, who we think is black. Other folks that we've missed, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Your volume's a little low. If you could speak up a tad or maybe get closer to your microphone, lots of black self-respect, project your voice.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
That is better.
Is it better?
Yes, ma'am. Better.
All right. All right. Good evening, sir. Good evening, all the callers and listeners. This is Codified Software Developer of Wisconsin. I haven't called in a while. But I, you know, listening to everything tonight, and I've been listening to past broadcasts, and I have determined that there is very little we can do to stop racists from practicing racism. It's only our response that I think we have control over. So for the person that called in and said they were leaving their job, I mean, the best thing you can do is put in a 2-week notice and be professional, you know. That's the best thing you can do. If they want to practice racism, and quite honestly, if you're a very good employee, you're a competent employee, quite honestly, if you're an excellent employee, they're going to be angry. Like, that's just what they're going to do. How dare you? How dare you go somewhere else, you know? That's been my experience. And I have to say, I think my experience has been, and I'm just going to go into my story here. You know, I think that we get caught up in patterns of behavior. I think that white supremacy itself is just based on patterns, right? Based on patterns of their behavior and our responses, our emotional responses to their behavior. And so I've created, you know, a couple of just ways of being when I go into a new job that I think are very helpful. One, you know, I look at every non-white person that's already working there and really try to assess the situation. So, you know, and I think he played something like a news report or something a couple of broadcasts ago about how diversity and inclusion is the new hot thing in the workplace. And that's really what's happening in my job, right? All of a sudden, it's a hot commodity. Everybody, you know, it's all about diversity and inclusion, to the point where today we got an email saying, you know, well, given the fact that Juneteenth is now a national holiday, you'll get it off as a paid holiday in 2022. You know, so, I mean, they're really, really going, you know, really going the extra mile, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term or phrase. But really, it all has to do with how they are perceived, I guess, if that's, I guess, for lack of a better term. I think I spoke about this a couple months ago when I called in. I said that the company that I worked for was really, you know, they're hiring all these black people. And when I say all these black people, I mean, there's 7 software developers now. I think they just hired a 7th black software developer. So, I mean, there's 7 of us now. But, I mean, more than they had, right? And, you know, they're doing these great things and they're having all these workshops, and, you know, my manager went to a diversity management training and whatever, and really it's because they went public in March and they just want to look like they're so diverse, right? The behavior has not changed. So I was looking at this one guy who's non-white Asian, and he's like the 5th person who's ever been employed at this company. It was a startup company maybe about 10 years ago. And so he's the 5th person who was employed. And all the white people who had, were hired around that time. They've all got these executive positions, you know, and all these very high level positions. And he is a couple of job levels over me, which is not even an architecture position, you know. And you would think, hey, this guy's been there for a long time, you know, and he's obviously done some work to get this company to this point. And he's still at this low level. When you ask somebody about it, they're like, oh, well, if you worked with him, you know that he's not capable of being at that level. You know, and whatever. Anyways, white supremacy. Right, so I pay attention to that. And also, I mean, I pay attention to the way I'm responding to things. When I come into a job, I'm paying attention because I've been conditioned like every other non-white person on this planet to respond to white validation. And so I pay very close attention. Why am I trying to, am I trying to impress these people? They already gave me the job. What do I need to impress them for? What do I need to be working 60, 70 hours a week for? I don't need to do that. 9 times out of 10, I found that the most effective way of getting a promotion or, you know, getting recognition is actually by, because they know this, they've hired you for a job level that is below where you should be, more than likely. They know where you should be, and they know the kind of work that you can do. But I've found it most effective to just do the work at the job level that I've been at and then have them promote me because they want me to do the work at the next job level. So, yeah, that's really all I have. And I will say this, Gus, if I can last at this company long enough to have this pre-IPO equity payoff, I got you, man. I got you. All right. Thank you, and I'll meet my line.
Hang in there, I reckon. Wow. I love Codified Software Developer. I love how she started. There is not much we can do in terms of stopping white people from practicing racism, particularly in workplace environments. What we can control, how we're going to respond when they practice racism. That, especially the female caller that we heard from previously before Codified Software Developer, or even before Ms. Tien, when she was talking about internalizing. That is so critical, in my opinion. When you grasp, it's not anything I did. I'm not incompetent. You know, it's not anything. This was totally unjust. Talk about unjust networking. This was totally unjust. What is happening here? And talking about patterns, they do this. It's not just me. They do this to lots of black people, lots of victims of white supremacy. I hope that's one thing people get from this broadcast. Like, man, they do the same type of thing. I bet they threw my evaluation in the trash too. Like, yes, they probably did. But when you grasp that, you can start to bring down your own stress level and you know, having all that high blood pressure and tension about all of this and just go, oh, okay, it's not me. They're practicing racism. I got it. This is what they do. What am I going to do? I'm not stunned about this. I'm not surprised. Like, I can't believe it. Bam! Got the photocopy of the evaluation right here. Can we add that to the record? Question link. That type of response where you just have that. I love patterns. Dr. Welsing talked about that all the time. Pattern recognition. That's what I try to implement on this program all the time. I said that right there. Just seeing the pattern and seeing that with people who called in. Or sometimes it'll be people who wrote in today. It just happened to be people who called in and talking about these performance evaluations. Same thing in a whole household. Same thing in people from all these different regions. And you just see the same types of terrorist activity where it's not that you got lazy black people. It's not that you got black people who don't want to work and, oh, my God, they just want to stay at home and get all these Rona benefits. No, you got hardworking black employees who are not valued at all. That's what we got in all different types of fields, educators and electronics, technologies, all, doesn't matter. Practicing racism, white supremacy in all areas of people activity, even against the competent niggers. But pattern, she says, when she goes into a job situation, I make an assessment. That's something that we should all be doing on a regular basis. That's why I said, like, man, it would be things to report and make assessments on. Even if I'm not being mistreated per se, I'm just constantly observing, constantly learning what is happening around here. What do I see happening around here on a regular basis? Is it in line with policy and procedure? And then the nuance of how white supremacy racism is practiced here, and how do they incorporate the non-white people, the victims, into all of that. All, super important. And that way, you can really tailor your workplace codification to that. You make your assessment. This is what's happening here. This is what I think will be most effective in terms of what I do, how I function, what I say, what I don't say, who I spend, you know, time talking to, that type of thing. All of that, it can be very tailored to the work environment that you're in when you are observant, mindful about behavior patterns with folks that you're going to be spending like 40 hours a week with. It could be more than that, but I mean, around approximately 40 hours a week with. Absolutely. Be mindful, take notes, and incorporate that into your own behavior patterns. And strongly second, exactly what she said, professional for the young lady who is transitioning, exactly what we've been saying, be professional, prepared, and already have your responses together for your last 2 weeks in exiting the job, and prepared for them to be tacky, whether it's asking all kinds of invasive questions or what. Just be prepared. That's why I said kind of go over policy and procedure to make sure it's not going to be any, you know, wacky hoops that you might have to jump through, or you got to do this or got to do that, or they hold up your last paycheck or anything, you know, untoward. Much obliged, codified software developer. Let's see, number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks dialed in, if you have a hand up, comment here to share. Line should be open. Proceed.
Hello, may I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. I have some observations that I wanted to share. I've been taking some days off. That's one of the things I wanted to put emphasis on is the self-care, Gus, as you mentioned, very important. And I wanted to also mention how if you are working around other victims, because I think they strategically had me set to about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, work around other black people for the reason of me and the other victims to be in conflict with each other. And that brings me to one time a few weeks ago where I said this to two black females. They're both older than me. And I didn't really care if they went to go tell the other white people, because like you mentioned about prediction and expectation, that's one of the things I expect. So I just said, you have nothing to do with this. And basically was saying, I think that I'm being treated to get in conflict with the two of you. And it looks like they understood what I was saying. And they didn't really give too much of a response. You know, they just said, okay, and just nodded their head. So I wanted to mention that because we are the only black people in the department. And also to mention that with these two people, I think the racists, they try to compensate for the way, okay, so they try to compensate with them, trying to be courteous with them every time I get inquisitive and I ask questions about the things they do and how they treat me in particular. Okay. And they try to do that, but it is very short lived. So they have been trying to interview people and they sent out an email again. So this person, the white female, quit December 29th, right? So that's like 24 weeks ago. And I predicted also that they were trying to recruit a person who isn't black, mainly someone who's white. And I think that came from an August 2020 email where I mentioned some things and I asked some questions that they didn't answer. So the person that they were interviewing last week, it looks like it was a white person, right? So I said, oh, here we go. Now, after all of this time, they could have already, if they were going to hire this person, they would have interviewed this person a while back, but maybe they were considering a certain person, you know, whatever the case may be. But she said this person quit her job after 2 years, so I'm not sure for what reasoning. And she also, this white woman, supervisor, felt the need to say to me that the black manager was invited into the interview process when they were interviewing this one person, but they still have four other people to interview, so I'm not sure what that was about. My next one was, there was a job offer that I got a report about going to a black female to be the HR personnel manager, but I don't think she's interested in it. It just seemed like it might be some showcasing in a certain form, I guess, going on, because last year or February 2020, we was introduced to a white man who was given this position. I went on a week vacation, and 2 days later, this guy quit. He quit, right? And this same black female was still there. So that was over a year ago. So I'm like, why all of a sudden now? You know, just, I don't know. It just seems like it's some kind of racist tactic going on. My next is, there has been a cell phone issue over in the civil area where the white woman, the warden, took over a bread basket, and I guess she's ordering some of the employees in that particular spot where there is a black female and a black male in these so-called administrative level positions. She's ordered these employees to put their phones in a basket. So I'm not sure if the black people were unable to get them to adhere to the cell phone policy, I guess, but I'm thinking it could have something to do with more of these chats, because it looks like more tangible punishments have been dealt out to white people, from at least from the report that I'm getting. Not getting paid for certain hours or something like that, or certain days and certain other things, write-ups. And a white woman has said, I'm not going to do extra things for them anymore. So this guy, you know, the person that says that he's been mistreated because he's gay, he is transferred, so people have been written up because of this. So this white guy is being nice to black people that are around. And it just seems like, I don't know if there's any investigations going on, but this person apparently seems to have reported them to a department outside of where the clerk's office is. So it seems like it's a lot of things going on. I have a few more. Victim of racism had an exchange with a white woman supervisor, and this isn't something that I would say, but she had an issue with her, how she was treating her and not prioritizing a request that she made, and she was I guess more responsive to a white woman's request. So she said to her, say, why are you treating me? I'm trying to think. She says, why are you treating me like a nigga putting me in the back of the bus? So she responds saying that, oh, well, it's not like that. Don't say that. And then she also had the nerve to say, well, I like sitting in the back of the bus too. So they, you know, they get into these kinds of exchanges or whatever. And this same person also mentioned the Juneteenth news revelation the past 2 days, or, you know, the past couple of hours. And she was telling me that she was trying to get her to respond, but she didn't do it. So, oh, did y'all hear anything about this new holiday? It's like they make a holiday after everything now. Yeah, something about freedom, you know, and they're all talking like this. And she was telling me she didn't even respond. I have one more. There is a post from a CLIC member. It looks like she was tagging another person. And it says, niggas drop out of school and get a job at McDonald's talking about on my grind. Yeah, okay, grind me up an Oreo McFlurry with your dumb ass. So it looks like that's some kind of a screenshot. But that also became another screenshot in the archives. And that's all I have to say. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
He said the CLIC member. Why would a CLIC member have a post like that on her social media page? Like, when using the word Negro or all of its derivations, like, why? I just, gotta get in the jabs at the black people, even employed black people. So this here, making fun of black people who work at McDonald's, like, it's not they're gainfully employed, and again, not trying to game the system and get, well, Negro's out here talking about the on the ground, grind me up a McFlurry, Negro. That's who's working at the courthouse. I go to get my passport photograph, find out the history of racial terrorism and what they call segregation in North Florida. Gotta go talk to this person, get your information. Gotta look to see if you got some police documentation. Might have to go talk to this person down at the courthouse. My cousin works at McDonald's. Niggers grinding me up a McFlurry. Like, wow. CLIC member indeed. Let's see. That is so important. Talking about patterns, like, man, white people organizing workplace environments, we'll say, for black people to be in conflict. That is so common, so important. That's why I said the people who are most to blame. And we've had people who gave the opposing side of this, I guess you would call it, where It's not conflict. It's not coon this or nigger that and ran around. It's quiet. Greetings, sir. Greetings, sir. How are you? I'm fine, sir. How are you? Great to see you, sir. That's what you hear. Did you forget your water? Oh, I bought you an extra gallon of water. Stay hydrated, sir. When it's that sort of commentary, everybody's getting along, chipper, not even talking about racism per se. Just, wait a minute. We put the niggers in the segregated section for them to gossip and quarrel. Did you see? He was calling him sir and ma'am. See, I'm going to break that. Literally, we read in Ohio, we've had tons of folks who have come on who said, when it wasn't conflict, fighting, got to stab somebody and then got to go get white people to come in and clean up all this. When that didn't happen, all the black people got along. You know, I came in today. They moved Paul onto the third floor. They put Susan on the 10th floor and they put me in the sub basement. If you're going to be in conflict, they would have kept you all together. You could have sat together for the rest of your careers, called each other names every day, all day long, coon this and nigger that, and had a grand old time. They could have come for entertainment. We'll come to the segregated section and watch them cut a fool. You don't have that happen. See how long you get to sit together then. Pattern recognition again. And again, who is it? That's why I said it's not my desk. It's not my chair. I don't have a seating. I sit where I'm told to sit. I sit where I'm allowed to sit. Let's see. They said the black manager. So he said it seems something's in the air. Juneteenth. Spring, he doesn't know if there's an allegation of racism, but something seems afoot. And he said they had this interview process trying to go around and nab all these folks for interviews, nab this black manager and said he was invited to the interview process, which I thought was interesting. Like, what does that mean? Invited? Like, I don't even know what that means. He said it also seemed odd that they've had this position for some time. Like, why now is it we're going to go out and see if we can get this black female to get this human resources personnel management position? Why now? Like, position hasn't been filled in a long time. She seems reluctant about taking that. That is interesting, too, in terms of why is she reluctant. Like, if this is an upgrade or a pay raise, like, what would be the hesitation about taking this position? He said it seems like it could be some racial showcasing. Like, hey, we are celebrating Juneteenth. We have got lots and lots of niggers in powerful positions here. Look at this. Brand new off. Look. Race soldiers do that sort of thing. All of the Joe Biden this week, man, he had all kinds of black people up at the White House. Juneteenth proclamation, folks. Look at this. All the black people we invited up here. Best thing you can do. Right, I guess if they're going to promote, I mean, hey, I'd say take the job, because sometimes, we've had this before too, sometimes you say you don't want to take the position, and they give it to you anyway. They flex that side of it and say, well, you can't turn it down, nigger. You're going to take the job anyway, and that's that. So, if they're going to give it to you, if it's going to be an increase in pay and what have you, we're still learning. Learn what you can, even if it's that sometimes they put niggers in position just to mess us over. And you take the extra money, and you recognize that going in. Let's see. And I would be, that's why I said being mindful too, recognizing like, man, just based on the way people normally behave, based on the way that they're behaving now and the kooky things that they're doing, like asking these questions and come be interviewed for this and trying to hire black people for this. Like, what is going on? Like, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask some more questions and be alert. But man, is somebody been accused of racism? Like, do they have a lawsuit pending? Like, what is going on? Just being alert, you can catch things like that. We're just something, and it might have to be, you might have to pay attention for and coming up a few more days to kind of figure it out, piece it all together. But being mindful, you can kind of grasp that, like something is not quite right, and I have to get more details so I can piece it together. Let's see. Now the phone thing, now he's told us a whole bunch of times, like this goes back years, with people talk about insubordination. I'm going to do what I want with my cell phone. I don't care what the warden says, anybody else. Now, Was this, did you say this was the segregated section? Was this the non-white people who had to put their phones in the breadbasket?
Oh, no, these are the white people on the, I guess, like the other side of the hallway in the civil area. The manager in that area is a black female, and many of the employees in that area are definitely members of that circle that I call the clique. They are directly or indirectly connected to this one white woman that started about 9 years ago. So the employees in that area and the juvenile manager, they more like most recently got involved in that restaurant issue where the white female got the water thrown on her. They were emailing about that, texting about that. So I think she's been looking into those emails, the warden pulling emails. So they've toned down the email aspect, but they still are doing the cell phone one. And they're looking at Netflix, doing things like that. So, so the entitlement, in my view, has increased. So I think they're going to start, what's the word I'm thinking of? They're going to start rebelling, I think, against the warden because she is on a countdown before her retirement, like almost 40 years. So, so not only will she be gone, they still need to fill the HR position in her position. So just chaos, basically. So these white people they are very upset. So I think they're going to start getting in conflicts somewhat with one another. So I'm just still paying attention to it. But they were the ones who were ordered to put their phones in this basket. And the victims, she said, oh, when you go around that corner, look to your left. I said, oh, that basket is on the top of the filing cabinet. So, she's, I guess, upset with them about this chat thing. So it must have been leaked or something on Just Networking. So, that's pretty much where that comes from.
Wow, okay. This is the white people in the civil area who had to dump their phones in the breadbasket. Now, like I said, he's mentioned this phone issue so many times where white people have been non-compliant with the phones. I guess there's supposed to be some element of professionalism at the courthouse, and you're not supposed to be, texting and all the rest of it all day long. And he's talked about how they, even to get to this point, that it was some unwillingness to hold white people accountable. They would be on their cell phones and cutting a fool and texting and all the rest of it, and some sort of real soft, let's make sure we're putting out, not Helen, put that phone up right now. Going in your personnel file. I have to keep telling you, you're gonna, not that sort of thing. Doing it so that nobody's called out. We don't have to make anyone feel bad and that sort of thing. That's part of, at least in my, unless my memory's bad, how we ended up in this position. White people not being held in accordance with policy and procedure. Now we get to the breadbaskets. I mean, come on. At the court, and then to have a black supervisor on top of that, I suspect some of this was probably directed at the black supervisor. Like all this gossiping, keep saying that too, the emails and texting and all the rest of it. Like, I am sure if they've been cutting a fool and doing all the rest of it, I am sure they have had 5 or 20 things to say about this black supervisor as well. So, man, good luck with all that. She's got to go through and try and clean all this up. I said earlier today, I said just minimizing some of that gossiping, I think, would be a huge boost, because in a workplace, so much of white supremacy racism is that unjust networking and gossiping and talking about people and all the rest of it. Getting rid of that would make it for such a improvement, I think, in overall quality of the work environment, because that produces so many vendettas and just all kinds of things, problems. With all that gossiping and talking about people in a work environment, in a non-contract, and talking about people with zero intention of helping anyone who's being discussed. Let's see. The back of the bus component, I mean, all of that is tacky. You get into, you know, hey, I'm not being treated correctly. I'm not being treated the way white people are treated here. And the person say, why are you treating me like I'm at the back of the bus? Say, well, I like sitting at the back of the bus. Like, I feel like I've heard that from white people before. If you called me on it, be like, you know, tell me the exact white person or the exact time. Like, I might need a little bit of time to think. But I feel like I've heard white people say that before, but neither here nor there. Does not get any better than tacky. I guess that is some kudos for calling that out when you're being treated incorrectly in a workplace, even by another coworker, because there is so much of that in a work environment. I think same thing that caller in Florida said. I don't know if I would have said it that way specifically. But yeah, I got the point. And calling out incorrect behavior, I feel like is generally, like, 99% of the time, accurate, correct thing to do. I wouldn't have said it the exact way, but hey, victims guarantee qualified. Calling out incorrect behavior is calling out incorrect behavior. Kudos to her. Damn, we got the screenshot of the niggers at McDonald's grinding. Incorrect behavior. Incorrect behavior. Speaking of, much obliged, caller in Florida. Got 5 minutes. Got anybody last 5 minutes that we missed totally? Anybody that we missed completely who had comments here they wanted to get in? Grant, we didn't miss anybody. Any other folks with any final thoughts, observations, suggestions that they want to leave us with before we conclude?
Can I be heard?
Let's see, that was our caller in South Carolina.
Yes, sir. One observation you made regarding the caller who is contracted, and you made some remarks about how that is typical of people who are contracted for their person who they have the contract with to let them go, and then right before they become permanent, and then renew their contract a couple of days later just so they can keep them under contract and keep from being permanent. There was a show that I was watching, and there was a guy by the name of Hercules Posey. He was a cook for George Washington, and George Washington would do that to him. He was a slave, so he would have him at Virginia with him, which was the capital at the time, and he would have him in Virginia with him, and then like 90 days, for 90 days, just, you know, cooking with him, and then he would take him to Mount Vernon, and in Mount Vernon, the laws were that they can only have them there for like 90 days or so, and then after that not in Virginia, but yeah, in Mount Vernon, 90 days. And then right before that 90 days was up, he would bring him back to Virginia to be a slave again. So he would just sell him back into slavery, you know, just renew his slavery contract back with him in another state. So he did it to him a few times. And then he got tired of it, and eventually he just ran away, and he got caught. And then this time Washington put him in the fields. He didn't renew his contract, supposedly, into slavery in the house, cooking. This time he put him in the fields.
And then I think eventually he just died or something like that. I don't remember what happened to him. But anyway, it's the same thing. That's the same thing they're doing with these contractors these days. They're just stopping the contract and just putting you back into slavery. I mean, you know, they're just ending the contract and so you don't become free in terms of become permanent, according to them. That's their version of freedom. But it just sounded familiar. It was, to me, in my opinion, what you described was a direct correlation to an old practice. That's all I had to say. Thanks for listening.
Much obliged, caller in South Carolina. Absolute patterns, you know, that sometimes they are able to execute certain acts of white supremacy racism, and they just keep performing them. Maybe may add a few different wrinkles, but it's basically the same procedure that they've engaged in for centuries against black people, very common in these work type environments, plantation as it were. Let's see, did anyone else? Much obliged, caller in South Carolina. Anyone else? Folks satisfied?
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. That reminds me about the patterns. Just really quick, the victim of racism also shared with me how she noticed how white code is practiced, just in something simple like getting change from the vending machine. A white male pretty much walked all the way to the other side of the office and being courteous and saying, oh, well, would you like me to bring you something back? Or something he made a comment about. And she just connected that to white code and saying that in her terms, her words, that they always stick together. That's how she phrased it to me, and it wasn't any kind of animosity or anything like that. So she thought that was codified in her words, and that's all I have to share.
They are not confused about what it means to be white, and I think that is crucial. Strangers, co-workers, whatever it is, they're not confused about that, and so they're able to successfully, United Independent, use the same concept from Mr. Fuller, where they don't have to be family members, best friends, and all that. Once, oh, you're classified as white, I'm classified as white, at least as it relates to non-white people, they can very quickly cut through a whole lot of confusion and figure out what they're supposed to be doing, and generally try to keep things, you know, civil at minimum. You talked about the civil area at minimum. Try to keep things civil. Look out for you. Can I get you? Grab something. That sort of thing. Very, very common in keeping that United Independent in maintaining the system of white supremacy. That, see a part of that with the what is it? The clique. And sticking together. We stick together, bonded through gossiping and talking bad about other people. Like, that's part of the same sticking together right there with that whole clique action. Anywho. Much obliged, caller in Florida. That's basically 3 hours. We'll consider it a broadcast. We should be here tomorrow, Saturday, compensatory call-in. Catch up on the past week, Juneteenth and all. That was not the only news that happened, but that certainly was one revolting component of this week's news and events. And then we'll be here for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific. As I said, Gus personally, very eager to chat it up with folks in different parts of the world just to see, like, where are they at with the Rona? Are they also, like, you know, forget these regulations and restrictions and all that. We are time to party. We have sacrificed too much of the Rona already. Is that where they are? Or are they going a little slower? Like, kind of check in with everyone, see where they are all at in various parts of the world. But that'll be Sunday. Looking forward. That's it. Much obliged to all the folks who participated live or archive. Hope the broadcast was worthy of your time and energy. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We will need high-functioning brain computers to solve this problem. We do not need white narcotics messing up the program. In addition to being sober, you're going out and about. Be mindful about what is happening around you. Still very dangerous times, I say especially in the U.S. because there are so many gun owners, white and non-white. Got to be very much alert about what's happening around you. If it looks like somebody's being aggressive, loud, this is not the time to be having verbal confrontations with strangers. You should be thinking, this guy could be armed. In fact, they might have a whole armed entourage that I can't even see right now. Like, if you didn't leave your residence prepared to die and or kill, exit. That is my recommendation, advice that I'm following personally. All of that said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. No name calling. One of the simple things we can do to solve this problem as soon as possible. No gossiping right there too. There's so much of that. We got the click and all the rest of it. Like, put all that to bed. We don't have to be friends and homies with everybody, but we're not going to sit around, like we heard on the program, sit around and badmouth Terrell, black males and females. We're not going to do that. No name calling, no gossiping. Very simple things that we can do that would go a long way to helping end white supremacy racism. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. A victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.